Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap of the slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bill Polian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Chicks dig me because I rarely wear underwear. When I do, it's usually something unusual.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I think that we owe a big round of applause to our newest, bestest buddy in Big Toe.
Paul Perillo.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do. No. Yeah, I do. Anyway, I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are you, homosexual?
You mean like flaming or...
Andy Hart.
No, we're not homosexual, but we are willing to learn.
Yeah, would they send us someplace special?
Eric Scalavino. For now, anyway.
My hobbies are fast cars and fast women. Because that's why my guys in my car club call me the Cruiser.
You should call them the Dora.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Okay, I know you're anxious to jump right in and start speaking English. So how many of you would say you speak English fairly well, but with some difficulty? Yes, you speak some English.
Son of a beach.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. That's a good opening. I have a new appreciation for that opening. I mean, I know we've been playing it for a while, but it's the first time I listen.
Shocker.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address, and the gang's all here. Andy, Eric, Paul, Fred, doctors in the booth.
Oh, boy, here he goes.
Toyota Tacoma's in the booth, and lunch was provided by strippers today. And thank you, strippers. I guess he lost a bet, right? Is that what happened?
Well, it was a bet he couldn't win. But it was basically we all made our picks for the 23rd selection. And none of us were right, but we liked Darius Butler, so got our lunch, I guess.
Okay, well, that's good. Well, thank you, strippers, and for the best in party entertainment. Why are you wiping off all the outside of your food,
No, because Eric? My olive oil and vinegar spilled in the bag, and it got
he pulled a banana out of his bag and wiped off the skin. Well, he did. I mean,
did he peel it?
No, he hasn't peeled it yet.
No. Start over because you stepped on the guy's promo for buying lunch.
Oh, strippers.
For the
best in party entertainment, it's strippers.com. Is that what it is?
Strippers@comcast.net.
Strippers@comcast.net.
Doctor, I have a request, if you could. Can you put a sign up for the people who do the Revs radio to turn off their damn headsets when they're done with their radio show, because it kills us all the time.
How many people are doing that show?
Well, whoever's doing it.
Does he go around and turn on all the headphones?
Apparently, because it happens way too often.
All right.
A big sign needs to be put up there.
You know, the revolution needs to respect the Patriots a little bit more, I think.
Seriously.
All right. Anyway, web radio.
I think we need to find a sponsor for the studio. Yeah, we need a name for the studio.
Grande.
Oh, so like, you know,
that? The Pizzeria Grande studio at Gillette Stadium.
Something studio.
Grande? Do you have to say it like that? Grande?
Well, if you want to say it correctly, Fred, yes.
Or pompously. All right. Well, you guys just came back from meeting Patrick Chung in the flesh for the first time. What do you think?
I like
first
it.
Impression. Very impressed.
He said all the right things, I thought. Looked good, looked the part, had a swagger as he kind of came up to the press the podium. Though he made me laugh when he referred to Rodney as Mr. Harrison.
Mr. Harrison.
But not only just Mr.
Like
Harrison,
that.
He then went on to say Brandon and listed all the other guys by first name. Mm-hmm. So he clearly, in his mind, there was a big divide between the guys he's competing with.
Meriwether,
now,
Sanders, those
legend.
Guys are equals. Harrison, that's Mr. Harrison.
I think you should. Yeah. Should that is the
oh,
way.
Oh, yeah. No, I liked it. I was very impressed.
And I'm sure Rodney would think it's very respectful. He might also think, damn, I'm old.
I'm old.
But he had a good quote about
everybody's good on the field. You have to get your edge in the film room,
which
to
you know
kind of align him with.
You know what I really liked about that answer the most was that was the predictable question, Fred, that you always get. We always ask it. What's the biggest change? What's the biggest transition from the college game? And right. Everybody says what?
What's the biggest change, Chunk?
The size and
no,
the speed.
What's the change is the size
speed of the
speed,
game.
Right?
Right.
Well, I thought it was an interesting change from that, from Patrick, and I was impressed with it. You know, mm-hmm. Andy just said it. You know, you get your edge, everybody's good. You have to get your edge off the field. In the film room, in the weight room, you know, practice hard, so that way the game is easy, I think, is the way you put it.
What do you say, till your legs hurt?
Till you can't move. Yeah. You know, you go hard all week till you can't move and the game's easy.
Go hard at go
home. That's good. That's good.
So how many times do you say it's go time or it's show time?
It's go time.
I like that.
He definitely, you know, it's funny. We got an Ask PFW saying, you know, do they need a guy if Harrison's gone? They need somebody to bring that extra excitability and contagious play.
Yeah.
I get the vibe he could be, if he's good. You can't do it if you stink. It's hard to do that if
this
you're terrible.
This is true.
Well, he definitely has the swagger, a little bit of showtime, kind of that hard-hitting safety who's a focal point, a lightning rod. He's got that.
Well, here's the thing that just concerns me a little bit. He did mention that. His quote was, he called himself a smart tackler.
Yeah.
Like he said, you know, I love to hit people, knock their lights out or whatever, but I also know when it's time to break down, wrap up, and make a good tackle. I hope that's accurate because from the film we saw, I didn't really get that impression from him. I saw him more as a Brandon Merriweather type, just throwing his shoulder and trying to knock people's heads off.
His scouting report is as a sure open field tackler.
So I hope that's the case. We might have just gotten some bad clips of those particular tackles.
And really, I mean, to be fair with these guys, you need to watch every play of the game.
Sure. And I'll say the other thing, and then we talked about this on Tuesday, you know, the way that Bill talked about his responsibilities at Oregon, and Patrick certainly alluded to those again today, saying that his defense was pretty complex. I think he's one of those guys that is more valuable when you know about him and what he does and his capabilities off the field than maybe when you just watch a tape.
Right.
So and it was pretty impressive just watching the tape. I liked him. I didn't love him. Like I said on Tuesday, there were a couple of safeties I thought, well, William Moore in particular from Missouri, that I liked more athletically. But when you couple in some of this other stuff, it doesn't surprise me that the Patriots may have had similar grades for those guys, but they thought this guy was more attractive based on his aptitude for the game.
All right. So he came out with, was it Robert Kraft?
And Jonathan.
And they held up the shirt?
Held up the throwback jersey.
The red.
Oh, so did it have a number two on it?
No, it had a
number
one. Who's number two?
Well, I mean, he was, you know, I guess he was the first
pick.
He's
a special pick.
And he had the old Pat Patriot hat. For the photo op, that white hat with the old Pat Patriot, and then in the press conference he had the draft day cap.
Was it a white or a red throwback jersey?
Red.
Okay, good. Because you know what bothers me? I was talking to our retail director,
Ken Flanders,
the other day. No,
he was here today.
Actually, Ken Flanders' boss, and I said, he said we have the red throwback. Are you going to have the white one that Fred Taylor was on TV with? He said, no. It doesn't make any sense.
What? You mean they're not going to have it available for purchase?
I don't think so. Or they don't have it in now. Because what they have now is what they'll have until July. In July, a lot of the other throwback stuff will be coming in, the 50th anniversary stuff. But they only have the red one. So why don't you put Fred Taylor on TV with the red one? I know we didn't do that. I know that was
a great question, Fred.
NFL Network. But, I mean, there should be some type of, you know, communication between Reebok and the league and us as to what we should put Fred Taylor on TV.
Speaking of that type of stuff, I have a question. From what I've seen so far, there's going to be a lot of 50th anniversary merchandise, like you said.
Yes, a lot of sideline gear, as they call it.
Very busy. A lot of stuff's very, very busy.
Very busy?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
There's like all kinds of lettering and too many logos.
So you've seen it?
I've seen a little bit of something.
So you don't know what you're talking about.
And I'm just saying, I hope that there's just something that has the logo.
There's a lot of different stuff.
You know, the 50th logo? Yeah. That would be nice if it's just a simple either it's a hoodie sweatshirt or a T-shirt or something with just that.
You plan on purchasing a lot of stuff?
If it just looks like that, if it's got all the busy stuff.
Do you know where the pro shop is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Because you haven't been into the museum yet.
We're going to go as a team, Fred.
As a team?
Yes, the PFW team. We're going to go together and do that.
All right.
Yeah, I think he's right.
What?
We'll be going as a team.
Why are you sounding dejected about it?
Because you're part of the team.
Because I have to go.
Wait a minute.
Not to the hall. I'm with Eric.
Oh,
relax.
That, I
get you. Why you got to get like
love
this?
The Hulk. I just don't understand why you guys have such an aversion to going
doing things
and
with Eric?
Celebrating the Patriots.
We don't.
I knew you would turn it into something ugly.
You took something so beautiful
pure.
As us making fun of Eric and turn it into something ugly.
All right. Well,
Stacey James made had a good line when he introduced him, saying, "And I now give you what is it? The new Pat Patriot or the newest Pat Patriot?" So that was his Fred.
Fred's reading an email. It's going
to be read.
Fred, did you know about Patrick Chung's mother has a musical past?
It's a very catchy tune.
Had some reggae tunes in the 80s. Did you know that?
Yeah, I read that today. His
did
mom
and you saw the video.
I didn't see the video.
It's a good song.
Yeah?
Yes. Andy was singing it in the office. I like it.
I'm going to have to crank up my Bob Marley. Girly.
You should. It's catchy.
Babylon by Bus.
Why don't why don't you crank up whatever her name is and play that?
I will.
Can we get that?
We should download that from iTunes.
Can you get that? It's on YouTube. Could you get that and play it? It's very
Girl. Catchy. I think this song is called Girly Girl.
Girly Girl.
Is it on the iTunes, too?
I doubt it.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, well, she said he has it on his iPod. In the story that was written about
it, he might have.
Yeah,
however.
That, exactly.
She may have sung it. He just recorded it and put it on his
could
iPod.
Could be. You can do that.
Okay, so they did the photo shoot, and then he did the interview with the media.
Yep.
Nothing else. I mean, you guys kind of covered the highlights already.
Yeah, he was very impressive. I thought he looked like a guy that wasn't afraid of the moment, wasn't afraid of the spotlight.
Of course, while he was busy mugging for the cameras, James Sanders was down in the weight room working out.
Yeah, Fred, it's now, hey, lawyer, and hey, James.
Yeah, you
we saw him down by the weight
Andy
room.
Andy saw him. I thought he was going to, needed a moment. I was really felt like the third wheel for a while.
Wow.
And I said to him, though, I'm not embarrassed by it. Everybody knows I heart James.
So now his next stop, I stopped by the All Access studio on the way down. It's all set up. They're going to interview Chung for the All Access show. I think it's tomorrow night, right? On WBZ?
I don't know.
Well, if you don't know, then.
I believe it.
I did tape something for that.
Yes, says
it's
Doctor.
Tomorrow night.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tomorrow on WBZ. So he's being
in early
for
bedtime.
That.
Come
Doc,
in,
is there
Paul,
a,
put
Doc,
to
do you know when the next prospective one is? After
probably
that?
Sometime in June, I would think.
Okay, so
early
I gotta think the rookie class is going to get named in that one tomorrow.
June 5th, probably.
Right around minicamp.
Yeah,
After the
I did a segment with Zoe just on Tuesday. We taped something just for like a post-draft kind of thing. And I know Mike Reese was here doing something as well. That's why I thought it was this week.
Yeah.
So it is Friday.
Sponsored by Ambien.
Wow.
Oh, that's not right.
I meant you.
Andy just throwing them out.
I really don't know why. He's
lobbing grenades.
He's so just so jealous. It's unbelievable.
It is. That's all. It's bruised from jealousy.
Yeah. You know what? You start getting jealous of that stuff, and you complain about the Comcast show. You know, we haven't been on the Comcast show in a while. The Mohegan Sun Sports Tonight. So I mentioned to Church, hey, what's going on with the show? So I'm on the show. You know when I'm on? Friday at 10 p.m. Hey, thanks. I didn't think I was on the outs or anything. Friday at 10. You imagine the ratings for that show at Friday at 10?
You know, speaking of your appearances, Paul, you'll be on the big show today.
0.0.
And you're going to be
watching the Bruins.
Who are you going to be with today?
Brian Daubach.
He's a former baseball player. Is that what he is?
Yeah. No, it says here. That, why did you sound like Kramer? It says here that you're a former baseball player. And he just has a blank stare. Elaine Bennett.
So you and Brian Daubach.
Yes.
Okay.
The flab and the scab.
Do it. That's actually
why,
funny.
Why, is he a scab?
Yeah, he was. He broke the.
Oh, strike. Really? That's very good.
He was a replacement
Thank
player.
You. Excellent.
Yeah,
excellent.
I got to give it to him. I don't know how he does it.
Feel free to use that on the air if you have any stones. Is he okay with that or no?
I don't think you want to be.
First of all, I don't.
Your
I don't know him at
scab.
All. I don't know him even a little. So I would not feel comfortable with calling
so that would
him
take
scab.
Enormous balls.
Just say my assistant editor said
my fat headed coworker.
Right.
How about you go with one of the guys down at the stadium? Broaden it a little bit.
He's a pretty big dude.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of him.
All right, so.
Well, I'm sure he could bench 315.
Probably.
335.
Do you think he'll talk any?
I don't know if he broke anybody's spleen.
Do you think he'll actually talk football today? I mean, you got the Celtics going on, the Bruins.
I would think it's going to be Celtics and Bruins, but evidently, I've heard Brian on the big show a few times. He doesn't talk a lot.
No.
So I told him, I warned Andy, this is not the day to listen. I think you might get a lot of me today.
I expect every other word out of your mouth being PFW
and
Pro.
And on top of all of that, no Glenn. Glenn's on vacation. So.
Oh, so who's hosting?
Pete.
Oh, God.
Cue the circus music.
Didn't you say he was somewhere?
Mexico.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
That one never gets old.
He's in
what
Mexico.
Would possess someone to say good news, dead?
What would possess someone?
I mean, unless it was like Hitler.
Who makes multi-millions of dollars
against El Duque.
To vacation in Mexico during a swine flu outbreak. I mean, probably, he could choose to go elsewhere.
He probably paid for it a year ago.
Yeah, but that's my point.
But
he
he's
makes
Glenn
millions.
Ordway.
It's not me. I didn't save my whole life for a single vacation to Mexico, and just happens at the same time. You can't go.
Yeah, like I remember my cousin got married 4 days after 9/11. You know, and she had her whole honeymoon, and she said, you know, screw it, I'm going.
Right.
I mean, but what was she going to do? Right. I mean, probably like $5,000 in a honeymoon.
Right. But what's the
what
most this cost?
But this
Glenn,
is Glenn $5,000.
$5,000's a drop in the bucket. Donate it to somebody else or something.
Yeah, as Bill Walton said, you were there. You were Glenn Ordway. You were there. I mean, he has money. He can do other things.
All right. Well, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. We got a lot of emails coming in. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
I continue to be very enthusiastic, and I know you're going to make fun of me again like you did on Tuesday, Fred, but I'm really enthused about the top guys that they drafted in this draft.
I think the top four guys have a chance of impacting this year.
Who are the top
four? Well, I go with the top three.
Chung, Butler, Brace, Vollmer.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about Vollmer. I think the guy that I would put in there is McKenzie, Andy and Eric's guy. I give you guys the credit for that one. I like that pick. I'm not sure about an impact.
Wait a minute, though. Andy, I know he's not going to usurp Wilford, but the way they rotate on defense, you don't think that he'll get some reps?
He may.
I mean, if he shows, you know.
He may, but I'm not sold that he's immediately going to get reps.
Mike Wright immediately got reps.
Right. He earned them.
Well, I think he
will, too. I'm not so sure that. And Mike Wright earned reps because he was a special teamer. He's one of those guys Bill talks about. If you earn a roster spot through special teams,
you're going
to
play.
I virtually have to play you at your other position because roster spots are too valuable.
Yeah.
Ron Brace is not earning a roster spot on special teams.
Yeah.
He earns a roster spot and reps. He earned them strictly as a backup nose tackle.
Yeah, in addition to that, Mike Wright has a niche as a sub-package defensive lineman. Ron Brace is not going to get those opportunities. He's not a candidate to play on passing situations, and now you're taking Vince Wilfork off the field if you play him on first down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He may. I'm not saying
he flat out can't. He might,
but
he
I'd be a little bit surprised.
Especially early in the season when Bill likes to rotate a lot. We've seen him do that with his linemen on both sides of the ball a lot early in the year. You might see him out there.
But I also think it's a difficult position.
Yeah, it is.
Nose tackle is. And all the hands and footwork and everything. I don't think it's an easy transition.
But again, I really think that they got some nice players that can really fit some needs. The only thing that we're still up in the air about is that I'd like to see an outside pass rusher. But, even without that, I think that there are some guys that I would like to see more of, like Crable we talked about over the weekend, a draft weekend. I'm really enthusiastic about what they did at the top of the draft.
I think it's going to be a highly competitive training camp, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how these training camp battles, like we call them, play out, especially that defensive backfield. These guys are fighting for jobs now, and they're all pretty good.
And the best part of it, or a key factor in it, is they're fighting against Tom Brady, Randy Moss, and Wes Welker.
Right.
They're fighting against pretty much the best. And other years when we saw – who did we see last year? Somebody got toasted by – might have been Bryant – got toasted by Moss on like three straight plays. That was kind of funny. It was a joke. You know, this is very different in my, because every single rep, every single toasting, or there's jobs and roles, roster spots being battled for here. I think that is going to be the story of camp. The corners battling for a job against Moss and Welker and Brady and those guys on the other side.
But it'll be a lot different too now that Hobbs isn't here. Because you kind of go in thinking, well, he's sort of a de facto.
Well, that's what I mean.
Incumbent starter.
Everything is up for
now.
Roster spots, starting jobs, third corner, fourth, everything.
And two now instead of one.
Two instead of one.
Everybody, you know, say what you or think what you will about Hobbs's play. No one thought that he wasn't going to be starting last year, and no one thought he wasn't going to be on the roster. I agree with Andy. You have all of these guys: the Wheatleys, Will Height, Butler, Bodden, Springs. I could see scenarios where they start. I could see scenarios that they're nickelbacks, and I could see scenarios where they're not on the roster.
Yeah.
It runs the gamut, any of those guys. Now, clearly, if Butler were not to be on the roster, I think that would be an absolute stunning development.
Speaking of him, there was just very good video of him doing a slam dunk contest on Nesson or putting on a slam dunk show, I should say, probably 10 different dunks, windmills, and all very impressive.
Isn't he like 5'9 or something?
10, I believe. 5'10 and change.
Wow. He's got.
I used to be able to grab the rim.
He oozes athleticism.
Back when you were benching 315 playing second base?
I ooze things, but it's not
335.
Athleticism.
Yeah, all right. Well, I said 315. I meant 335.
Right. Oh, sorry. Broken spleen.
All right. So
I'm excited about Rich Ornberger. I talked to his position coach today, Dick Anderson at Penn State, 32-year veteran of the program.
Yes.
No nonsense guy, is he?
I fear him. I hope to never come in contact with Dick Anderson again.
Andy doesn't want to cover Penn State. He's afraid of the coach.
But he had a lot of nice things to say about Ornberger and his, more so his work ethic, his personality, coachability, all the things. And he said in terms of physical, they've had guys come through there. Steve Wisniewski, I think, came through there. Now he has a cousin or a son, another Wisniewski. But there's been NFL players that come through there. And he said Rich certainly ranks up there with all of them that have gone on and had success in the NFL. He thinks there's a good chance he could be a player in the league.
Some personnel news came out yesterday afternoon. The Patriots released Bo Rude, Andy's guy. What do you think about that?
Why is he my guy?
I thought you really liked Bo Rude.
No, I said he would never make the roster.
No chance.
None of us thought.
Yeah, no
chance.
You know, I'm mildly surprised he got cut now.
I am too.
Well, that's the thing. That was my next question. Why now?
Well, they are tight against the roster with him, and if they sign the draft picks, I think they only had room to sign like two rookie free agents to and be under the 80-man limit. So I expect there will be a handful of cuts between now and when, because they sign the rookie free agents, and then once you start signing draft picks, you're going to need slots. Could be Nathan Hodel, the long snapper, or any number of those types of people.
Hey, right now that's one of the top five camp battles.
It's long snapping.
According to who?
Yeah.
Nate Hodel and Jake Ingram.
It's going to be a lot of work between the legs.
Read today that the Patriots rookie pool allotment is somewhere in the neighborhood of $6 million.
Yeah.
So they'll have that much to sign the 12 guys and however many rookie free agents
they will not use all of that.
And as you go, you know, and Andy's right, as you get into June and in the beginning of July, that's when the draft picks start going off the board in terms of being signed. And they generally get signed from back to front. You always see the later round guys get signed first. They might get to a point where they have to start releasing players to make sure that they have room in their 80-man roster.
Yes. Because, I mean, by all reports, there's more than a half dozen rookie free agents who are going to be here.
Yeah, the question is, are they all signed?
A lot of them are signed, reached a deal. Some of them will be in training camp with the Patriots. I mean, mini camp with the Patriots. There's different wordings.
So we should be getting that release
later today,
probably.
But, like, the safety from Kentucky was signed by reports. The safety from Arkansas or Alabama. Hoyer, the quarterback, Michigan State.
They all said signed?
Yeah. Reached a deal.
What about
others said will be, like the wrestler? Yeah. I don't think he'll be under a contract.
How about our dude Appleby?
I think he had a contract.
Because we're intrigued by him because of the Virginia kid.
And the two Navy kids, I think, are like going to be here.
Yeah,
I liked Appleby a lot. I won't say a lot. I liked him as a complimentary inside linebacker type with knowledge of the system.
Now, Doctor installed this Google IM on my thing so he doesn't have to hold signs up. You know, to tell me who's on the phone.
He's right there.
And
you lazy SOB.
So you guys are 5 feet apart with just a sheet of glass.
So he sent this to me at 12:08. I just noticed it. John in LA's on the phone. John, how you doing?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good.
John.
Awesome draft coverage.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It was really great.
Oh, and by the way, John, I want to thank you for defending us and our honor on PatsFans.com. We were getting criticized, and you came to our defense, so thank you.
Criticized, Freddie.
D-bags. It's so
lame.
Wow.
Really. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I got to be honest with you. I'm glad that everybody's listening. I'm glad people had opinions.
That's true.
Glad they're listening. And it wasn't like they were all negative, and they weren't all positive.
It was just a few people, but I mean, you know.
And you can't have those kind of strong opinions unless you know enough about the show.
Right.
Well, no, you can, though. That's the problem with those D-bags, is that most of the people who were putting it down were like, I've listened to it twice. Or, I listened to it for 3 minutes today.
Yeah, we're an acquired taste.
Okay.
I don't think it's an acquired taste, but maybe it is for some people.
No, but I just want to check it up. It was just nice. You know, you stood up well and made a good case for us, and we appreciate it. I know not everyone's going to like what we do.
No, and we're not, but that's not the goal.
We just try to have fun and entertain people.
And I think people hit and run and they catch us during one of our admittedly silly tangents that we can go off on,
right?
And then they think that's what the show is. And, but, you know, they don't realize, like, during the draft, like, I saw one person was criticizing the draft because Fred and I were talking about Vollmer for 10 minutes and Crable's skinny legs.
Right.
And well, I mean, if you think that was what we did for 6 hours on the draft, then you didn't listen to anything, because that was a very small percentage of,
right,
you know, what was a lot of analysis of the various picks.
At the end of the day, though, it's just football, and we're just trying to have fun. It's not like we're talking about whether or not we should leave Iraq. You know, it's not that
important.
Although
we do talk about that sometimes.
Yeah, but
we're just having
fun with it.
I do like Pats fans, and a lot of those guys over there, you know, have been around in Foxborough. And, you know, Ian is, you know, specifically who runs that site.
Yo, the guy that runs it is a great guy.
Yeah, he was here for years, and we enjoyed it. You know, we had a friendship with him. So
it's a great
site. I hope
and
they
Ian
keep
is,
listening.
Ian is great, and it's a great site. There's a lot of really smart posters over there.
Mm-hmm.
I find it ironic, though, that they would be criticizing, because I read that too about the about you guys talking about Crable's skinny legs and the offensive tackle. But I mean, that's football related.
I know,
and that's the other thing.
And stuff. I mean, it was about the guys. It has something to do
and
with
as
them
much,
making their offense.
As much as we joke that we make a reaction based on his skinny legs, holding up at that position, setting the edge is about power and playing with a certain level of strength.
That's right.
And why is it any more ridiculous that we say he has skinny legs than Bill totally disregards the pass rushers for being 6'2 instead of 6'4? Right. I don't think either are ridiculous, because you make a decision on what you need to play in your system. We think you need to have a certain base of power, and it's hard to imagine that Sean Crable has that based on looking at his legs.
I saw a lot of people describe Andre Smith as top heavy. I mean, so, yeah. You know, it's, you look,
and me.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton called him top heavy.
Oh!
Oh! All right. just quickly ask my question here. The Tennessee and Jacksonville picks next year in the second round, I think both of those could be high. I think at least one of them might be higher than the, better, I mean, for us.
I think Jacksonville has a chance to be very good.
What? Yeah.
I think they could both be top half of the round picks. I think Tennessee's in for a little bit of an awakening.
Yeah, I think this, if I had to say either way, I think Tennessee will go down. Not necessarily from 13-3, because obviously, I mean, how often do you duplicate that stuff? That's what made what the Patriots did so impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But Kerry Collins, I just can't imagine, has another great year. He had a great year last year.
And they lost the guy who most people believe was the most important defensive player in football,
that's
in Albert
right.
Haynesworth.
Well,
that's
I'm more
right.
worried about their quarterback play than I am that, and that's significant. Haynesworth,
they were a defensive and running-led team. Chris Johnson, I think, now they're talking about trading another running back, maybe Chris Brown. Is that his name? Chris Brown?
They still have him? They don't have him, do they?
I think so. And, you know, Chris Johnson is an undersized back. Say he gets hurt. I think there are a lot of factors you could point to.
They got the pig.
Yeah, he's a pig.
Len Whale?
He's the swine flu.
He had like 1,000 yards.
He stinks.
And a million touchdowns.
He had a million touchdowns. He stinks.
I don't know how many yards he had. I just threw that out there.
He had 1,000, I believe. But
he did?
I think he had over 1,000.
Well, John, I would assume there's no shortage of things to write about in Friday Outtakes.
No, there's a lot to do.
You didn't tell him yet?
I'm not done yet, so I should probably get back to that. But
yes, you
are. I just wanted to ask one more thing, which is about Jason Taylor.
Yeah.
What do you guys see as the timeline of when we would know one way or the other?
I think it's going to be closer to August than it is now. I really do.
The release.
That blows.
Well,
I don't know. There are reports out of Miami that he is in negotiations with three teams, including the Dolphins. That's the last I saw out of Miami.
When was that?
Yesterday, maybe.
Do you know who the other one was?
Some lame fan site, though, I think.
Well, but it was a link. From what I saw, I thought it was a link to a Miami Herald blog.
Hey, how you doing?
I believe. But, you know, it's clear he's trying to avoid some of the offseason work. I mean, he was pretty upfront about saying
that. Told the Redskins.
Right.
I think he'd be in Washington right now if he had any intentions of being in someone's offseason program, and I think that's why Fred's right.
But I still got to think that it's going to happen. I'm holding out hope.
I do, too.
Blind faith. I'm having Fred Kirsch-like blind faith that when training camp opens in late July, we'll be huddled around Jason Taylor, and he'll be joking around with Tom Brady.
I have blind faith that there will be a veteran outside linebacker brought in. Whether it's Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers or whoever, there is going to be an addition, you know, someone with experience.
I'll say by the golf tournament, which is early June.
Oh, no. No way.
They can sign and make it happen. That doesn't mean Taylor's going to be here working
but
out.
But that's the thing. Why sign
because
it for Jason Taylor? Time is on your side. The longer you take, maybe some other offer comes from some desperate team that an outside linebacker gets hurt in a minicamp. Why sign anything until you have to? Why do it?
Well, because
assuming you're staying in shape on your own.
Because the talk is that he wants to go to a team like New England who could win a Super Bowl. There aren't a whole lot of teams out there like that.
Well, I'm saying, but that another team's situation might change between now and in the beginning of, you know, so why you know, because, fence yourself in?
Because I'm saying that because I think there's that 6 week period where there's absolutely nothing that happens in the NFL. That June to July period right before training camp. So it's not like there are going to be practices where a guy at his position could get hurt or whatever. Nothing's happening. So I'm saying he could still sign then and not have to come in and work out.
What?
But why would he do that?
Unless the Patriots are saying you have to sign by June 10th or we're pulling it off the table, what is the incentive to sign now?
For him?
Yeah. Just, no, for Paul.
No, I don't know if you meant for him or for the team. Here. For the team.
For Jason Taylor. What's the rush?
I don't know. I just think
all right. Anyway,
if I were him, I would want to know what the resolution is.
But he does know.
But he dictates it.
He has the decision. I mean, I agree with Fred. If there's a ultimatum by the Patriots, then yeah, well, you got to sign. Otherwise, you hold all the cards. You know where you're going. So I might not sign on June 1st, but I know come July 15th, I'm signing with the Patriots. I know that in my head. Unless I get an ultimatum and then I have to do what they tell me to do. I don't
see the Patriots acting like the people that have to pay the ransom. I see them as issuing an ultimatum, saying, look, we want you, but here's the deal.
But that will be the deal. He won't get more money out of the Patriots. I'll give you the same argument on the Patriots side. Why would they want to paint themselves in a corner? Don't give an ultimatum. Say, here's the deal. If you want it, at some point we might have to say we're going to move on and we're signing someone else, but
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, don't.
He has to know. It's not like they're on pins and needles.
But I'm sure before they do that, they're going to call Jason Taylor and say, hey, look, we're about to sign so-and-so. Here it is. You know, so there's no rush, really.
There is a rush.
That's the problem, really. There's no rush right
now. John thinks there is a rush.
No, I think there is a rush because we didn't draft anyone as outside linebacker. And I'm not one of those frantic fans who's upset about that. It's, you know, like you guys say, some veteran outside linebacker. But Jason Taylor, if he really does want to win a championship, and that could mean going to Miami, I guess, but if he really wants to, he should recognize the fact that the Patriots are going to have to make some acquisition of someone who would fill the role that he would fill. And at some point, they are going to have to move on. So you would think that would light a little bit of a fire under him at some point.
I agree with you, John.
Of course, we also don't even know. He might know. I mean, those in the know, Bill Belichick and Jason Taylor, might know exactly what's happening right now.
Maybe. That's my point.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, John. John from L.A. calling in.
I agree. I'm on your side in this one, Fred. I think it's later rather than sooner, and that probably means we're wrong because we generally, in the prediction business, haven't done very well. But in my opinion, if you're Jason Taylor, you can only better your situation by waiting. You don't have to go through the hassles of the program.
Right.
You don't, you know, someone could suddenly get more desperate for your services and increase your value. I mean, a lot of things can happen. Nothing, I don't really think, bad can happen by waiting.
No.
Nope. I mean, the draft is over at this point. You know, the only thing I would separate from is the blind faith. I have blind faith that Bill, like Andy just alluded, they might know what they're doing. I believe that. I believe Bill knows exactly what he's doing. In regards to that specific position. But I don't necessarily think, well, someone will be there, whether it's Peppers or Taylor. I have blind faith in Peppers or Taylor, but, you know, a Leroy Hill or someone else like that people have talked about, I don't have blind faith in that. Yeah. That just someone else that's out there available, Travis LeBoy, we got an Ask PFW about. I don't think just anyone can come in and fill that role. I'm not so sure about that. I think that Bill has an idea of what I think if it's not Taylor, it's going to end up being what you have on the roster.
I agree.
All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is the ultimate shopping, dining, and entertainment destination in New England. What's your Patriot Place experience?
We took the kids to a movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe and finally went to Red Robin. The burgers were amazing. It was so much fun. Everyone loved it.
We had girls' night out at Patriot Place last weekend. A little shopping, dinner at Davio's. It's just like the one in Boston. And we had drinks at the cutest little wine bar called Tastings.
Experience Patriot Place, a once-in-a-lifetime experience every day.
Honestly, I'm here about once a week. I always find great deals at Christmas Tree Shop and Old Navy, and the shoes at Off-Broadway are unbelievable.
Patriot Place is located next to Gillette Stadium in Foxborough with convenient and free parking.
Bass Pro Shop and Eastern Mountain Sports have everything I need for my camping and hiking trips. And we love CBS Scene Restaurant. They've kind of got a million TVs, and their outdoor deck looks right into Gillette Stadium. It's so cool.
Log on to patriot-place.com for more information. Patriot Place. Everyone wins.
The New England Revolution are taking on the best teams and the best players in MLS, and you can be there.
Gillette Stadium comes alive!
The Revolution 4-game mini plan is the best way to be at the games that fit your schedule. Guarantee your ticket for the May 3rd match against Western Conference rivals, the Houston Dynamo, and then be there for three other matches of your choice. Opponents like Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, Juan Pablo Angel and the New York Red Bulls, Conference rivals DC United, and Freddie Lundberg and the expansion Seattle Sounders FC. The Revolution 4-game mini plan starts at just $68. Order now and get a limited edition Revolution long sleeve t-shirt free.
How about that?
Ticket packages and individual game tickets for the entire season are still available. Call the Revolution ticket office at 1-877-GET-REDS. Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net. Prime.
Drives it and in. What a goal. Sandy Niasse.
Action.
Listen to this crowd erupt.
Revolution.
With the 34th pick in the 2009 NFL Draft, the New England Patriots select Patrick Chung.
The NFL Draft may be over, but the Patriots Pro Shop has everything to get you geared up for the 2009 season. The Patriots Pro Shop has the widest selection of Patriots gear anywhere, including many items that you can't get anywhere else. Pre-order the jersey of the newest Patriots players. Can't get to the stadium? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. You'll know it's authentic when you purchase from PatriotsProShop.com because your item will be shipped directly from Gillette Stadium. With a huge selection of Patriots items from men, women, kids, and infants, the Patriots Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open year-round, Monday through Saturday from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Or shop 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop. If you were any closer, you'd be in the locker room.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
All right, web radio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482.
That's almost as good as when you said, Paul, that we should get a sponsor for the studio, and Fred said, you mean like the something studio.
Exactly. Pizzeria Grande Studios
Twitter?
Here at Gillette Stadium.
Or
the
inside
studio.
But it's not as good
as
when Andy said.
Could get you in trouble.
It's not as good
plus
as when Andy
get
said.
Any money out of it, like the real Twitter.
True. It's not as good as when Andy said in the it was the Patriots pick. Well, maybe they can move up in the draft.
Oh, that was a classic.
Was
Fred.
That was good.
But that
we
was
would
just
be remiss
stupid,
if we
buddy.
Didn't bring that one back up.
Mm-hmm.
That was a good one. I agree, Fred. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever said.
Andy had this look, this bright red. I mean, the face that you made at that time was like, I can't believe I just said that.
It happens.
It does.
I wish it happened to more than me.
I've seen your moment. All right. Web radio at patriots.com is email address. Brett Favre.
Ruh.
Is he coming back?
God, I love the plane thing on Florio. That some plane took off from Minnesota, flew to Hattiesburg, something airport. Only four planes flew into that airport yesterday. That same plane left. Only six planes left. It went back to Minnesota.
Are you kidding me?
That's like when Sarah Palin was, before it was announced that she was picked, they were tracking these planes that went from Alaska
site or whatever,
to Arizona.
If you have the tail number, you can track it.
Oh, my God.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
I thought our long national nightmare was over. Apparently, I was wrong.
You know what, though? I from a just a... I don't know what you would call it, a purient interest. Is that right?
Prurient.
Prurient.
Yes. Even I knew it was Prurient because he said it a million times.
I want him to come back, and I want him to go. I want him to go to the Vikings. That would be great. Playing Green Bay, come on.
And throwing seven interceptions every other game.
I don't care what he does. I just want it for the theater.
Why would he, though?
Go away.
Because then I think you're right. He truly is just sticking it
right
to Green Bay. And,
right. I just want to see it
now
and have fun with it.
Now you're pissing all over your legacy more so than last
but
year.
But so what? That's his problem. You know,
but why would he?
From a fan standpoint, I just want to have fun with it and laugh.
Because even he said now, like, he
read
just
Paul Domowicz's column. What?
He's what?
Read Paul Domowicz's column about it. Because you know he'll make fun of him.
He's a good writer. Can only read him in Patriots Football Weekly. Right?
Oh,
I'm sure he can read the Philadelphia Daily News.
Yeah. Nah, Patriots Football Weekly.
So what do you guys think? Odds of Brett Favre coming back?
70-30 against.
Against?
Yeah, 92-8 against.
I say, I say 50-50.
Fred will let you know after the season because it's always more accurate to let you know then.
I told you the story about
60-40, no.
60-40,
did
no.
Did I tell you the story about the furniture delivery? My sister-in-law had furniture, you know, she
11,
was getting
53.
Some stuff. They told him they'd be there between 10:53 and 1:53.
Wow.
I'm serious.
So this is, it's still a three-hour window, but if they make it exact like that, it sounds, you know, like, oh, they're
they'll be
being,
on time.
Right.
Yep, they'll be there.
Strange, but then I asked,
strangest thing I ever heard.
If you can bring it down to a 53rd minute,
why
can't
you close
it
like
a little
in 10 minutes?
3 hours then?
Right. Well, anyway, I'm sure there's
your furniture store.
I'm sure there's some formula.
I also had another altercation.
Did you?
In public.
Oh. Oh, no.
Where?
Yeah. I actually wasn't alone on this one. In the parking lot at the hospital on Monday. Going through the you know, the garage, the parking garage, we're going around the loops. There's a million spots in those things, first of all. But usually the bottom layers, bottom levels are pretty full. So we're going around, and there's a guy in front of me going very, like, ridiculously slow. Every time he sees somebody walking, he has to stop and find out where they are. And when he realizes he's gone too far, then he keeps going. So it was kind of annoying. Sure enough, a woman is trying to back out of her spot.
So it was a woman with Paul.
No. The guy in front of me stops his car, and I'm telling you, he was smack dab right behind the poor woman trying to get out.
He won't move. Ass.
Okay, so now
I didn't finish it.
I'm behind him. He starts backing up. There's no way there was enough room for me to back up a little bit. There was like four cars behind me.
Now, Paul's not going to back up.
No, well, I did. I did out of panic.
It's a big pissing match going
on.
No.
I thought the guy was going to hit me.
Yeah.
So I started backing up, like rolling a little bit, but now I'm looking in the back. I don't have much more room. I don't know if the guy, I don't know if he even sees me. I don't know what his deal is. So I beeped the horn. And he goes like this. He waves his hand at me as if to say, back up.
And
more.
Right now, Paul's thinking, don't wave your bleeping hand at me.
No. At this time, I'm still thinking, this guy, he's going to hit me. He's just going to keep on backing up until he bumps into my car. And he had a big SUV, too. So, like I said, he is like right in the middle of the poor woman. I mean, it's not even close. Wasn't even close. It wasn't like if he moved like two more feet, he could, like, the woman could get out and then he could get in the spot. Not even close. So now he's got the window rolling down, and he turns back. He goes, back up. So
uh-oh.
I said, sir,
uh-oh,
there's five cars behind me.
Did
I can't
really
back
say, sir?
I did.
Wow.
I said, I can't move. Well, first of all, I didn't know if it was like a doctor or something. We got at the
elderly
hospital,
guy?
Mass General.
Did you say?
No.
Yeah.
Middle age?
No.
It could be
your
a doctor. He could be working on Paul in his next surgery.
Absolutely. Yeah. The gastric bypass.
You're the guy.
So I don't know what the guy – I just said, sir, there's four or five cars behind me. I can't move back anymore. You have room, he says. Now, Andy, don't even laugh at me because you know how you would have reacted. Don't tell me I have room. So I said, sir, there are five cars. They're all beeping at me. You're causing a traffic jam now. I can't move any further. The poor woman now rolls her window down. She's like, can you please let me get out of my spot? So he's sitting there. He's like refusing to move his car. This goes on for a good – minute and a half, two minutes,
boy.
Which is an eternity in that
right.
situation.
Oh, boy.
So now all the guys behind me are beeping at the guy. And I said, do you see? Now I'm just like, I'm feeling the satisfaction of, I wasn't trying to be, you know, going out of the way. So finally he pulls forward. I let the lady go. I was so mad at the guy, I didn't even pull into the spot. I let the guy behind me pull into the spot, and I just went around to the next level, and I pulled into a spot, and I see the guy still driving around. I'm like, what is wrong with that guy?
Oh, God.
But I immediately thought of PFW in progress.
I don't know if it's the economy, but I found myself recently ready to go. With some, you know, like thinking to myself,
it's go time.
If this guy says
something,
if this guy says something to me,
it's go time and show time for Patrick Jones.
If this guy says something to me, I'm ready to tell him to go F himself.
Where was this?
Several times.
It cleanses the soul.
Yeah. So I've just been on edge a few times.
But this guy was rough, I would say roughly my age. So this wasn't one of those.
Was he Rhode Island? Rhode Island.
Wasn't a woman in Babies R Us.
What does that have to do with
anything? Rhode Island drivers are terrible. It's true. They are the worst drivers.
They are pretty bad, yeah.
The state is so small, they don't get enough time to practice.
Oh, I also told the guy, I said, sir, this is a very large parking garage. There are a lot of spots available. You don't have to get this one.
Were you alone or was Beth with you?
No, I had to pick up
Beth. Picking her up.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Kind of reminds me of the time where when we were in high school, we used to screw around, and if you had a friend following you, you'd put it in reverse and bump them. I did it with Vic behind me once at a stoplight. I put it in reverse and just revved it because I had a thing. He slams it in reverse, hits the car behind him.
Oh.
The light turns green. I just leave. And like an hour later, he gets to my house. He's like, yeah, the cops came and everything.
Oh, my God. You're an idiot. You're really
a
bad person.
You're a bad man.
You know what
I'm
the one who did it.
You're a bad person.
And then you just take off.
Has never changed. Has never changed.
Be a friend and stay there and help him.
Andy, you know, wouldn't want Andy in a foxhole next to you.
My friends used to take the key out of the ignition all the time when the car was running.
You can do that?
Well, I don't know if you can
now. I don't
think
you can.
Your car now, you
probably can. In the Edsels, you could do that. In the Ford Edsels, that's why they don't make
it. I bought a lemon.
Paul's got a lemon. Have you heard the noise it makes?
Oh, God.
He starts it. We were leaving here the draft the other night, and I hear,
you know the sound when your car is already started
and you turn it
and you forget and you turn it and it makes that noise? That's what every time, the first time I start my car of the day, it makes that noise.
Oh, it sounds like you need a new ignition.
It's going brand new.
Yeah, that's good that it has 30,000 miles on the car.
He
right?
was supposed to get a new ignition with the new car he bought.
Wow. That's too bad.
I'm not happy about that development. But that tangent was brought to you by Pizzeria Grande Studios.
There you go. We web radio at patriots.com. Let's get to some emails. Did you send something? Oh, I'm looking at my IM that the doctor sent up. He has the song want it. This is the song by Sophia George.
Catchy.
Which is Patrick Chung's mother. Okay, that's good. That's enough.
That was a big hit in the 80s, you know.
I like it. You don't think
that was a good song?
I like it.
You didn't want to hear any more of it.
No, it's
now, are you going to play that when he takes the field or something? Because you're the director.
Yeah, it's up to
him. He's got to do something. He's got to like get a touchdown or an interception or something.
Yeah, you going to have it on the ready?
I don't think so,
Plus, you really think that...
Why not?
Player
what if
gonna,
he picks it and scores?
If he asks for it, yes.
Or
otherwise,
you could be proactive and ask him.
I could.
Won't, but...
Didn't say that.
We'll ask
that position
he,
does
we'll
not include proactivity.
All right. Let's
Same
see.
As the old guy.
Still
let's
no
get
mascot
some emails.
On a motorized vehicle. No gun that shoots anything into the crowd. Nothing. Not even a slingshot.
On the Rev game, we got a slingshot.
I guess you won't see the slingshot anymore.
Why don't you just give
I said to shoot something
in
into the crowd.
Why do you have to shoot him into the crowd? Why don't you just give them to all the people in the stands at the Revs game?
They have the Rev girls with a T-shirt slingshot. They
how are the Revs girls?
One T-shirt per fan.
So they're that hot, huh?
Let's see. First email comes from Marvin.
What do they wear?
Kernersville, North Carolina.
Holy Fred.
Wait,
I saw
Marvin from Kernersville, North Carolina?
Yeah.
Is that a new emailer?
I guess so.
I don't remember that name.
No.
Anyone? Bueller?
I saw some of the pictures in the Patriots.com system from the cheerleader photo shoot.
I checked that out on your
One of them, I needed a minute.
Well.
Oh, I don't know if it made it to live internet, but there was one that very, very nice.
That's not the half of it, believe me.
Want to touch the
baby?
Nip slip?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What you have, like a porno going
on? I think if... if you're of the ilk of Andy, you'll want to get the calendar this year.
So if you're a man who likes women?
If you're a man.
So you're out, Eric.
So Eric's out, but most of our listeners
I'm
are
sorry.
Out.
If you're a man who can't control his urges.
And some of our female listeners, right? We got a couple lesbos that listen.
It's true.
Some documented, some not so much. I've just anointed them lesbos.
The one you claim is one.
Let's see. Marvin writes in, okay, guys, I truly have to agree with Big Al, the voice from Georgia's call on Tuesday.
Big Al.
The Patriots' Kool-Aid is starting to taste somewhat bitter. Now, I know the great Perillo is correct that Bill's knowledge of rating talent is far greater than any of ours, but I think Big Al has a very good point about not taking one of the higher-rated linebackers in the draft. At what point are we going to stop this pick-up-picks game a la draft for the future and draft for now? Yes, we can all sip the Belichick Kool-Aid and say we got just as good of players for less money and hope he's right. But it's 5 years since the Kool-Aid has any Lombardi trophy in it.
Ooh.
And Bill knows, as we all do, the Brady era window is closing. So at what point are we going to reanalyze that the future is now? Since 2005, our defense has been the weakest link, and Bill has tried every patchwork trick in the book to fix it, but it just hasn't worked out. How many times have we had to watch our defense with its no-covering DBs step to slow linebackers, can't get to the quarterback D-line before we get some playmaking players? Yes, Fred, I know they, i.e. Bill, has tried with some free agents like Thomas, and yes, Fred, we did draft Mayo, but the Kool-Aid is still very bitter without that taste of Lombardi Trophy in it. Remember in the 05 regular season game with the Colts, Bill went for it on 4th-and-1 at their 21 in the first quarter. Just as Tony Dungy said, going to the locker room at half, the Patriots know they have to outscore us. Why? Because our defense can't stop anybody. We can't get off the field. That's Super Bowl 42. We can't stop the Jets in 08. So for me, the Belichick Kool-Aid is really starting to taste bad. I know he is the smartest coach in the game today, but sometimes I think Bill's so busy counting the pennies that he lets the nickels get away from us, like Samuel. Yes, we may have saved some cap money, but we all know we are not better without him. Keep up your great work, guys. You're truly fantastic and make the offseason bearable. Wow.
There's a lot in that email, but I will say, I think the Samuel thing and the not drafting a guy this year are two very different things.
Yeah, I agree.
Samuel, he knew, was a proven player. I think if you could get him now, you know, your truth serum, Fred, that you want to inject him with, he made a mistake, I think. But this year, Tom Brady's getting older, so I'll take a linebacker just because I need a linebacker. That if you don't think they're good, that's a terrible decision. That's not the right move.
And it's not like they haven't been competitive since 05.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they're a pretty good football team.
Yeah.
I don't think that I think that the Samuel thing was largely money.
Right.
I don't think the drafting thing has much to do with money. I think it's an offshoot that you end up spending less money. It's an unintended benefit, I think, that you end up getting Tyrone McKenzie in the third round and you think he can do the job that Brian Cushing could have. Or Ray Maluga, whoever you think.
I don't think the money, I think,
but I don't
the
think
first
that's
thing
why they do it
was, yeah, those guys are kind of short and they're not all that fast. They're not first round picks. And I don't even think he said that in terms of, well, a first round pick, it's a guaranteed deal of $8 million.
Yeah.
I think he said
it's
short
benefit.
And not that good. I'm not taking them in the first round.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And where I'm sipping the Kool-Aid is I think Tyrone McKenzie is a good player because Bill does.
Right.
And I'll admit, that's why I
think. And Eric and Andy did first.
No, you guys told me who he was, and you guys were very high on him, no doubt. But when Bill thinks the same thing, I'll admit, I sipped the Kool-Aid there because I trust his judgment.
Now, where the first-round money thing might have come in is when he said, after they're not very fast and they're not very tall, so I'm not going to just take the guy who's next in line in the first round because then I'll have to pay him first round money and he's not worth it.
Right, but I don't think he did it to save money. The value wasn't there in terms of the player.
There's something funny there too that I find about the whole process. And we know that they rate their board a little bit differently, you know, because they look at guys that they feel like they're beneficial for their system. Whereas some of these shorter outside linebackers, you know, maybe they didn't have first round grades on, maybe they had third round grades on them. Okay. I understand that, but don't you also take into consideration, okay, you have some guys rated a little higher than other people do. Don't you take into consideration that you're probably alone in those evaluations and maybe you can take those guys still, let's say they had a first-round grade on Tom Brady, you know, when he was coming out of school. I don't think they would have taken him in the first round because they knew they didn't have to.
Right.
You know, they can still wait a little while before they take him. And I'm wondering, I think there's some guys that they like more than other teams that I think they draft before the round,
but I wonder why.
In the case of Vollmer, from what I understand, they did get wind that there was at least another team or teams that you know, we're looking at him.
Yeah, it's a hard thing because you never know. You that might be absolutely right. They might have been the next team. You know, remember the Logan Mankins one? San Francisco came out later. I think it was San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they immediately said they were going to take him at the top of the second round.
So do you think that was the case with Slater last year too then?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Because that was it.
I think there's a lot of lot of those guys, though, that they take two, three rounds earlier than most people have them projected. Not that projections mean anything because we know they don't. But I'm just wondering if the board works in inverse.
Like, but maybe they have him ranked even higher. Like, maybe they had Patrick Chung as, like, the 17th best player in this draft. And they got him at 34, which is good value, but not so far as you risk out losing him. You know, we don't know where they have him ranked.
Yeah.
Let's see. Paul's favorite emailer, William Berry, writes in.
Billy Berry.
He says, hominids. Nothing from me, Eric.
Oh, you need me to explain what a hominid is?
Do you know what a hominid is?
Yes.
What is it?
It knows a lot about hominids.
No, it's spelled differently. It's spelled H-O-M-I-N-I-D-S.
Not according to William Berry.
Well, then I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that he spelled it incorrectly on purpose.
Well, he has to spell H-O-M-O-N-I-D-S.
He did it. He had to do it on purpose. He's smart enough to know that it's not spelled that way.
All right. Anyway.
Eric anoints him smart like the stamp of approval.
Nothing worse than that. You're smarter than that. You're better than that. Come on. That's such a condescending phrase.
Anyway, do you know what a hominid is?
No.
It's a family of primate mammals, including humans, and all of their ancestral derivations.
And you sure it's not H-O-M-O?
Yeah, we're Homo sapiens.
Yes, I'm sure. It's spelled H-O-M-I. Hominids.
All right.
God, I hope he's wrong. God, I hope we get flooded
with
25 emails right now.
But trust me, I'm not wrong.
Anyway.
Every time you've ever said that to me, you've been wrong.
Doctor, type in on Google, define hominid, H-O-M-I-N-I-D, so I can prove Andy wrong yet again.
But there might be another word, right. H-O-M-O.
Alternate spelling. Derivation.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Latin. All right, anyway.
The chickens have large talons.
William's question. We all know Julian Edelman's Wildcat potential. Do you guys see him as big in practice so the defense that must face Pat White and the Dolphins twice gets to see more of that? By the way, Julian? What kind of wimpy name is that? Was Poindexter taken? I have a solution. Julian Adderley.
In front of a guy's name now?
Julian Adderley was a saxophone player who understandably never used Julian. He was a famous member of Miles Davis's five-member quartet. You know what a quartet is?
Yes, but if it has five members, it's
a
quintet.
Lost faith in Bill Berry spelling it right.
Known as Cannonball Adderley. Cannonball is a good nickname.
I didn't even pick up on that.
Guys in the media know the importance of names on perception, right, Paul? Seriously, okay. If I'm told Julian wants to meet me in the dark alley out back, I laugh. If I'm told Cannonball wants to meet me in the dark alley out back, I gulp. So we gotta get. So if Julian,
you might be gulping if you meet Julian.
So
Julian was the gay.
I just realized what he was.
Julian was the gay cop on the Shield, who was torn. He was.
Shut up!
I won't
Andy.
Be dupes.
You're a jerk.
He was very religious. He was torn.
You're a jerk. A
lot of similar.
Did you like the Shield?
Julian
I've never seen
Edelman.
The Shield.
Edelman. He's not big time practice squad potential.
No,
for
he doesn't even get it.
Yeah. He's on edge. He's
I got a chance
before.
To talk to his coach too this week.
On the phone,
if this guy says something, we're going. We're going.
It's go time.
On the phone right now is Mike in Puerto Rico. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing over there?
We're doing great.
Hola, mi amigo.
First of all, I'm going to do something I can't believe that I'm about to do.
You
want to
keep the call short?
Andy Hart.
You're going to defend
Andy
me?
Hart.
Yay! Why?
I heard the hilarious exchanges that you had guys had over the weekend over the Twitter and the different variations of that word.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I actually heard, what is this guy's name? The guy from Steve Carell?
Yeah. From The Office.
The guy that spells his name funny, you guys were talking about him the other day. That used to be on The Daily Show.
Steve Carell.
Is that
That's him?
Yeah, he used to be
on... No, that's the guy from 40 Year Old Virgin, right?
Yeah. He used to be on The Daily Show.
No, but I'm sorry,
Stephen
the other guy...
Stephen Colbert.
Colbert.
Right. Stephen Colbert said, if I'm not scaring you, then I'm not giving you the news.
He was on the, I think it was on The Daily Show or something, and I know it was a female, I don't know her name, and she was interviewing him and so on and so forth. And since they have a Twitter on that particular show, The Daily Show, she was closing up the segment, and then just as, you know, keeping him part of the conversation, she goes over to him and looks at him and asks him, do you Twitter? And then he goes, yes, I have, and then the word that Andy Hart said. But that was on national TV.
Yeah, see, it happens to the best of us comic geniuses.
But you could look at his face. I didn't say it, so don't beat me. So the minute he knew exactly what he was doing, he knew exactly what he was saying, but you should have seen the lady's face. It was. Remember that Michael Myers face when Kanye West said George Bush hates black people?
Yes, I
just
do.
Just put that on a female, and that was the face she put.
Yeah, see, it happens to the best of us.
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible.
Plus, they can get in trouble. They can get in trouble. They can get fined a lot of money for stuff like that.
It was national TV. It was like 8 o'clock in the morning or something.
It was international TV.
Well, there you go.
All right.
And just a couple of points and then a question for you guys. Is there anything much more frustrating to a Patriot fan than draft weekend?
You know, that you
that's
might
well
be right
said.
There. Yeah.
It's one of those things. I mean, you have a pretty good idea that you're going to come out of it okay, but it's awfully exasperating
on the way to get
there.
It's like you're a kid and you live in a house and all the other kids get like really good, cool toys and you get like these toys that are kind of like off the beaten path. It's like what Seinfeld said. Everyone else had G.I. Joe and I had Army Pete. You know, we have to get all the other drafts.
But even worse, it's like you're in a house where you've seen the toy catalog for months leading up to Christmas.
Right, yeah.
And you get something that might be kind of like one of the toys in the catalog, but everybody else gets the toys in the catalog.
Right, yep.
It's not even that. I don't even look at it that way. Oh. Everybody else gets the cool toy. And then you get the pair of jeans.
Well, I got socks from my grandmother.
Patrick Chung might be better.
You get the pair of jeans that while everybody else's toys break down, your jeans last for like 4 or 5 years.
Oh,
well said.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
You don't know the value until much later.
Turnabout is fair play.
But it's still a pair of jeans.
Yeah.
There's still a pair of jeans in the end.
Exactly. I mean, you got this guy that got a Nintendo Wii, and he breaks the controller and whatnot like a year into it. But you still got your pair of jeans. I mean, they're still good. You're still using them, but they're a pair of jeans.
Right.
They're not a Nintendo Wii.
And then someday they just don't fit, and we get another guy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, and it was just, like, so frustrating over this weekend. I mean, the only name that I actually got mildly excited for was Darius Butler,
yeah.
And it's because it was in – I believe that the consensus was that the actual top two actual natural safe cornerbacks – where Bonte Davis and Darius Butler, because Malcolm Jenkins was between a tweener.
Right.
Between a cornerback and a safety. So I'm just glad for that one. I was floored when I heard both Brace and what do you call the other guy?
Chung.
And Chung. I was just floored. And the other one, Ballmer, I had no idea. And it was so interesting because, like you guys said, somebody called in from Germany,
yep,
and gave you a heads up on it. And then you end up picking that player. It was like, you know, it was eerie up to a point.
It was. And he was one of those late risers. And I think it's also a number of these prospects had really good East-West games, East-West Shrine Bowl games,
yeah,
and were kind of late risers based on that. Like, he was considered by some the best player that didn't go to the combine, and he visited like a dozen teams early in April. It was like the Eagles, the Cowboys, Patriots, all these teams worked him out. And his stock, he worked his way up into a third, second-round pick from kind of a nobody at the start of the process.
Yeah. And another, a couple of things to let you go, and then my question. A couple of gems from over the weekend. The Patriots are on the clock, and they're looking to trade up. That was absolutely beautiful.
Another Andy Hartism.
I did my best.
And then the other one was, I guess Fred stepped out for a second, and then somebody asked the doctor to read some emails.
Yeah.
Paul asked the doctor to read an email, yeah.
And then when Fred came back, so how do you do reading the emails? Well, he did good pronunciation, he had good flow, and I'm like, I was just laughing so hard. How bad do you have to be to screw up an email? Even two gender could have done it right. So. And last thing, and just a question overall, I don't know if any of you guys follow boxing, but Pacquiao and Hatton this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, saw that.
Saw that. Who's going to win?
Who do I think is going to win?
Yeah.
Pacquiao, right?
It's actually, I think it's too close to call. to be honest with you.
Come on, give us a call. We need a call.
I think if he, it's like you guys say, it's all about game plan. If Pacquiao puts up his game plan and he follows through, then he's going to win. If Haddon does it, then he's going to win. But it's going to be an awesome fight because it's two guys that just go forward and don't take a step back. So, the fight is going to be like right in the middle of the ring for 12 rounds. So it's going to be very, very good.
Brouhaha, right in the middle of the ring.
Right.
It could be like, you know, a fight of the year, so nice and early. So, but other than that, great coverage over the weekend. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was a little disappointed that we couldn't call in to the show. But other than that, awesome coverage. I really appreciate it. And you actually got me thinking about doing the Twitter thing.
Oh, okay. Good.
Oh, all right.
That's Twitter.
All right, so take care, guys.
All right, Michael.
Mike from Puerto Rico.
That is supposed to be a good fight this weekend. You remember Pacquiao.
Boy, there's nothing good than good boxing. Better than
there's
good
nothing there's good, than good, good than good boxing.
Nothing better than good boxing.
Eric, you remember
not enough of it.
A Patriots-related note we have relating to Pacquiao. The last time he fought, we were in Seattle.
Yes.
And a legend from this team asked a waiter in the hotel restaurant who kind of bared a resemblance to him.
That's
oh, you
true.
Must be tired. You had quite a fight last night.
That's so true.
It was an awkward
it
moment.
It was a very awkward moment. Yeah.
Anyway.
Funny.
I have a William Barry update.
Yeah.
Hominid, correct spelling, H-O-M-I-N-I-D.
Now, is that there universal?
Yes.
Based on what he did later on with the quartet.
It was on purpose.
He did it on purpose.
Sure. However, just in William's defense, there are two alternate versions of the word. One is hominian and hominid with an O after the N.
Oh, so it is an acceptable spelling.
Apparently.
So he was right.
Sure, but I think he also did it on purpose for our purposes, to make fun of us.
You.
Us.
You.
Us.
You.
Oh, someone's at the door.
Hi, this is Christina Acker from Patriots Today.
Jackpot.
Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
Well, thank you, Christina, and in recognition of the draft weekend and all the twittering that was being done here at Gillette Stadium, and thank you for introducing us again, Christina. It's Twitter is in the Urban Dictionary. Twitter. Can I read any of this? It's a gap between two things.
Oh, wow.
Two words that if you put together would
things?
Spell Twitter. Take the tw and the
stop.
Itter.
All right. Let's see. Reed from the Cape.
It's kind of like taint.
Reed from the Cape says, hey, guys, and Eric, this is an email to all the negative Pats fans who have been bitching and complaining about the draft. So because the Pats traded back out of the first round and stockpile picks, including another 2 second-rounders next year, they aren't as good as they were before the draft. Honestly, other than outside linebacker, what other position would a rookie start? Please, this draft was about gathering depth, and we are still the Super Bowl favorites, so no worries. I agree with Reed. I said before, well before the draft, we're going to win the Super Bowl, and nothing's changed.
Well, actually, you know we moved up. It was, I believe, 9-2 favorites to win the Super Bowl, now 4-1.
Is that right?
Moved up a little bit in Vegas' eyes.
You know who else agrees with you about that, Fred?
Who?
FoxSports.com has their first mock draft for the 2010 draft.
Oh, jeez.
They have the Patriots picking 32nd.
There
with
you
the
go.
Giants picking 31st.
Really?
A rematch.
Ah.
Yes.
I welcome it. On the phone right now is Craig from North Carolina. Craig, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you guys doing?
What's up,
Craig?
Good.
It's pretty exciting in a very confusing way, the draft.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That was a trip. I sat there and listened to you guys the whole time.
Well, thanks for listening.
Right. Thank you.
And as it turned out, I wrote 41 emails that never made it to you guys.
it's hard to – and here's the problem I have doing the show.
Can't read.
During the draft is things change so often that an email that came in 10 minutes later has no relevance anymore. So I kind of – I can't get to them fast enough to keep them relevant.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And I understood that. You know, I said – I can picture Fred right now. He's just frantic.
Yeah.
Okay, that's old.
Yep.
Okay. And, well, we did end up with a couple of players.
I need a producer. Oh, hey, doctor. How you doing?
Yeah.
Oh.
How surprised are you guys at the number of defensive tackles that we have currently on our roster.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I'm a little bit surprised. Yeah.
And I'll tell you who else was surprised. It was funny. I was talking to Myron Pryor's position coach, and he said he's flat out a nose tackle. He'll be a nose tackle there if he can develop whatever. And I said to him, you can never have enough defensive linemen. He goes, apparently that's what Belichick thinks. He drafted three nose tackles over the weekend, and he's got Vince Wilfork. So.
Yeah, plus he picked up the guy who's been out the last couple of years. I forgot what his name is. Signed him a couple weeks before the draft.
Every year we say this. Maybe they're going to go.
Oh, your guy, Kenny Big Smith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he won't be on the team.
Every year we say this, you know, maybe they're going more to a 4-3 and they're looking for two inside tackles instead of one. Just one nose.
I don't buy that.
No,
but
I just think he drafted the best available guys, and if one of them develops or whatever,
yeah.
Okay, now guys, I got a question for the group, but specifically, I'd like to hear what Paul has to say because Paul doesn't think too highly of this individual.
Well, apparently, Paul doesn't think too highly of the show either because he's left for the big show.
He walked out.
He walked out.
No, he just walks out.
Mike from Puerto Rico was talking. Paul just walked out.
Yeah. He must be psychic or something, or a doctor gave him a heads up I was next.
He might have.
Okay, my question is this: how much stock do you guys put in Clark Judge's story that he wrote that the Patriots were going to select Percy Harvin at 23, but, you know, he was gone before that. So, you know, I mean, I just have a problem believing that, you know, Belichick had made comments, you know, pretty much 20 through 40 were pretty much the same, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I just, are you telling me that, you know, of the first round that Percy Harvin was the one guy that Bill felt good enough about to go ahead and stay at 23 and pick?
Oh, it's a good question. So you know, think of it this way. They came to 23 and they decided we're out of here. If there was a guy that they were looking at that they thought was going to be available that wasn't, who was that guy? Whether it was Percy Harvin, who else would have been a candidate for that?
I don't know.
You know, and it's a good question. I don't know.
I thought English, obviously.
So maybe Larry English.
Yeah, but I don't think he was based on.
After what Bill said in his press conference, too, you got to think maybe not.
Well,
so I guess this question is next. So do you guys think Bill has that much confidence in our existing core of outside linebackers, given who we have, not to go forward with, you know, picking up Taylor or making some other sort of pickup?
I have no idea.
Yeah,
I
mean, we'll find out.
Because if Jason Taylor signs just a normal deal with them and the Patriots could have had him, then I'll be very surprised. But if he signs big money, I don't think Bill's going to break the bank to get him for 1 year or two. It's going to be very telling on how Bill handles the next couple months at that position.
I mean, you know, he let Rude go, and I'm kind of a little bit concerned about depth.
Yeah. Rude was going to be let go either now or at the end of training camp.
That was a matter of time.
He was not going to make this team.
Okay, but, you know, Bill was talking about the prototypical outside linebacker, you know, 6'5", 255 plus. You know, there aren't a whole lot of guys out there on the street like that.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, no question. That's why we wondered, you know, does he have to lower his standards a little bit, or how does that – can you take the proven pass rusher? Would he have passed on guys like James Harrison or Dwight Freeney? I mean, is he missing out on guys because of too much of an emphasis on the height?
Yeah,
I don't know. I just think that our defensive ranking dropped two notches, okay? I think we could have been an A+, and now maybe we're looking at a B-. You know, I just look at if we had even a higher tier, I'm not talking Pro Bowl, but a higher tier outside linebacker on the other side of AD, then, you know, they're not going to be able to double-team Seymour. They're not going to be able to double-team Wolfwork. And now we've got a better defensive backfield. All right, what you going to do now, boys?
Yeah.
You know, but now, we've got that little bit of a weak spot.
But it's not over yet, Craig.
Something
could happen between now and training camp. As Fred was saying before, he thinks it'll happen more towards training camp.
Yeah, it's not over yet. And, you know, if they do go into the season with Pierre Woods, let's say, as their outside linebacker, well, I think most defenses, if you look around their depth chart, they've got a weak spot as well. It's really hard to have the kind of quality depth you know, we're looking for here in the NFL. It's just really hard to do.
And the other thing is, I didn't think Vrabel had a very good year last year, and apparently Bill didn't really think so in terms of value. How far is Pierre Woods from Vrabel last year?
Right.
Not Vrabel at his best, but Vrabel last year,
that is,
and he's making, what did he sign, 1.5 tender for this year?
Right,
yeah.
Right.
So you can't compare Pierre Woods' resume versus Vrabel's. It's purely Pierre Woods 09 and Vrabel 08.
And that's the perfect argument that I had that discussion with someone from the Patriots just a couple days ago, and they said, you know, are we talking about Mike Vrabel from 3 years ago? Are we talking about Mike Vrabel from last year? My argument back was, even if his quality of play, you can't replace that experience with Pierre Woods.
Right.
You know, so, but you're right, Andy. It's you know, how good was Vrabel last year compared to what Pierre Woods is today?
Right. And that's not to say you can't upgrade and still get Jason Taylor, just comparing those two guys in the slot.
Right.
Yeah, and I don't think we're in any hurry to sign Jason Taylor, nor is he or his agent in any hurry, because he doesn't want to go to camp.
That's right.
So in the meanwhile, they're just going to be posturing, you know, for the best case scenario.
Once he signs, he's going to be under pressure from the fan base of whatever team he signs to get in there and learn the system and all that. So why rush it?
Yeah, trade in his tutu for his spikes.
That's right.
All right, guys, awesome job.
Okay, right, thanks, Greg.
Take it easy.
Greg from North Carolina. Let's see. Steve from the Isle of Man writes in. Hey, guys, in the fantasy kicker, I posted this question on draft day on PFW.com. Who that was still available on the board do you guys think Bill would select if he had last year's first-round pick? Also, what is happening with Scalavino? Yes, Eric, I know it's spelled wrong. Guskowski kickoff. And last but most important, I'll be sending a care package containing gifts from the Isle of Man TT Road Races.
TT Road Races?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know, but I love gifts.
Okay.
I'll take anything
that's
free.
Okay, so if the Patriots had number 7, traded down to 10, whatever, who do you think they would have picked?
I mean, that's a really interesting question.
Yeah.
Malcolm Jenkins?
I think maybe? Guys that might be in the conversation are Jenkins, Crabtree, because I think he's just a good talent.
Yeah.
I mean,
and isn't that where he went? Did he go 10?
He went
to San Francisco?
Yeah. I don't think Maben.
No.
Arakpo, I'm intrigued by, but I don't
he's
know
on the small,
he's
shorter
a
side.
Shorter side. He's the James Harrison build. Maybe a tackle, although 3 had gone on. No, Monroe was still around at that point. He went 8 to Jacksonville.
Yeah, he went to Jacksonville.
Monroe, I think those guys.
But he's in the mix because, you know, you're starting at 7 and moving down to 10.
Okay, yeah. I think those would be some of the names, but I get the feeling Bill would have done his best to get the hell out of there.
Yeah.
And the kickoff, any news?
No, we have not heard from Guskowski.
Have you followed up? Have you asked Stacey James what's going on?
I haven't talked to Stacey.
So you're hoping this dies out?
No, I didn't actually deal with Stacey on that. I dealt with his subordinates. So I'll have to ask them what the deal
is. Stacey's subordinates.
Yes.
There's no saying that we can't just have Eric go out and kick to embarrass himself.
No, we could do that.
The whole point was to have him out there, though.
My whole point is to embarrass you.
I know, because you're a jerk. We've established that.
Well, Mr. Maybe if I hit 6 or 7 in a row, I'll switch lefty and then back it up to 50. The game you were talking, I expected to see an NFL-caliber kicker out there. Now I'm not sure it's a peewee-caliber kicker.
You know, 15 years went by. I was basing it on what I had 15 years ago.
Now, the fantasy back then.
Can we get...
fantasy back then, my friend.
Can we see some punts, too? Some 70-yard punts?
That wasn't part of the deal.
No?
No.
The answer, no.
Let's see.
Why does it smell like something's burning all of a sudden?
Hopefully it's not the stadium.
Do you?
Well, the steam coming out of your ears.
No, seriously.
I don't smell anything.
I don't smell
Doc?
Smoke.
No?
No.
It's just you.
Something's burning over
but
here.
But there's vehicles going by outside.
It could be fumes coming in from under the door.
Yeah, there's bobcats and...
Yeah.
I caught a whiff of something. I think it's coming in from outside.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Jason, and maybe it's the swine flu.
Don't joke about that.
Jason,
I think it's worth joking about. People are going a little overboard.
Oh, now Andy, I smell it. Andy, yeah. It's getting over
Andy
here
predicted
now.
that's going to be a South Park episode pretty
no
soon.
No question.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the absolute fear that the media has put into the world is... All right, I'm really smelling it now.
Isn't it bad?
Yeah, well, sorry.
What?
That's all right. Let's see. Jason in Ireland says, a few thoughts on the draft and other things. Football seems like most critics are pretty quick to label Belichick a genius and Al Davis a loon.
Yep.
Truth is, we won't know for a few years how players pan out. But if Belichick selected Michael Mitchell in the second round, would it have been labeled a genius move for spotting an obscure talent?
Yes, Paul and I have discussed that.
But he wouldn't have picked him, so that's the point.
But the idea is guys get the benefit of the doubt because of their resume.
Seabass.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Seabass.
Yeah.
But I would say Mitchell was as out of nowhere as anybody.
If Al Davis had won 3 Super Bowls in the last 10 years and had a pretty good track record of picking guys,
people wouldn't be making
fun of him.
Right. Al Davis was a genius. At one point in time.
In the 70s.
At a time when it wasn't as hard as it is today.
You can only play the schedule you play. You can only be compared to your contemporaries. In line with everything that was going on, he was a genius, an innovator, a very smart man. You have to give him his due.
Yeah.
In 30 years, if Bill Belichick is running a football organization, he might be a loon.
Right.
He could very... People will say, that 3-4 defense went out 75 years ago.
If he loses his mind, he will, you know, like Al Davis
well,
has...
becomes old and senile in the game.
Well,
that's
the point. That's the point.
But let's give the man his respect for what he did earlier on in his life.
Sure.
He is a and I think the first person that would say that would be Bill Belichick. I think he would talk very highly about Al Davis because the man did some very impressive things.
I thought the first person would have been Al Davis.
Well, yeah, if they remembered who Al Davis was.
Jason says, what about the stories of crafty Brad Childress slipping in before the Pats to take Harvin?
The guy's nuts.
To have been a fly on the wall and have seen the Patriots' big board.
That guy is absolutely nuts. The guy is Ziggy, get rid of him. He's a clown.
What is Roger Goodell's fascination with making everything longer? First the regular season and now the draft. He's worried about too many meaningless games before the regular season, but I'd be worried about having meaningless games at the end of the regular season. We've seen plenty of teams taking a few games off when they've locked up a playoff spot, and I think it's just as likely that you get more of these games, type of games, as it is getting more playoff quality games. 18 games equals 60-man roster equals 12.5% increase in salary cap. It'll be interesting to see how freak athletes like Mitchell, Barwin, and Vaughn Martin work out to see if any of them become successes in the league. We all know about previous workout warriors, but I think Barwin was an intelligent guy who had success at a few positions, and I think the Pats would have taken him late in the second round if he was available. This Vaughn Martin is a beast, 6'3", 331, sub-5 in the 40, and 44 reps on the bench, who plays some fullback, but looks like he could make some guys miss in the backfield.
Yeah, a lot of times those freaks don't work out. Doesn't mean to say some of them don't, but more often than not, they do not.
C.V. Golston, Jets.
Wow. No, I would not see him because I think there's a chance he has double-digit sacks.
I know. You're predicting that
Rex
he's going to be great.
But, I mean, Matt Joneses and guys that are transitions and athletes, and I just got to take them in the first round and all
Mike
this.
Mike Mamula.
Whoever you want to. I mean, more often than not, if you can't. If it doesn't bark as a puppy, it's not going to bark as a dog or bite.
Bite. Chris, from formerly from the Bronx, now from Stanford, Connecticut, looking forward to rookie camp. A couple of questions. What kind of access does the media have? Do you just watch warm-ups and then have to leave?
No.
How do you keep track of new and or unlisted players, and what obligation do NFL front offices have regarding press releases on tryouts?
I don't think they have any, and we sometimes
just
have to do some good old-fashioned reporting, asking around, looking up, figuring out.
And
reading Reese's pieces.
That's not after.
No.
Because oftentimes we have it before they do.
Yeah.
So stick it, Fred.
But as far as practices, we're allowed to watch all the practices.
Double sessions.
Double sessions this weekend.
Yep. And also one quick question. With two picks in a row, did it serve any purpose to select Ron Brace before Darius Butler? As a cornerback, would they have had to pay Butler more at 40 than Brace as a defensive lineman? I saw Butler as a more valuable player than Brace before the draft, so I wondered what reason, if any, he'd go second.
Fred?
I don't think it might be a money thing. I don't think there's much difference between 40 and 41. Although I do, from what I heard, they moved up to get Butler.
Right.
Not to get Brace. So
then they announced Brace before Butler.
Right. So I don't think it really mattered. But the move, what I heard, was to get Butler.
Right.
So quick game of final roster. Choose which player out of each pair is more likely to be on the active roster in September, assuming only one can make it.
I like it.
Ready?
All right, go.
Eric Alexander or Vince Red?
Vince Red.
Vince Red, says Eric. Of the two.
Eric Alexander.
Vince Redd or Julius Peppers?
Vince Redd.
Vince Redd.
Sebastian Vollmer or Jason Taylor?
Jason
Taylor.
Push.
That's a good, no, you can't push. Taylor. Not allowed to push.
The push means they're both going to be on the roster.
Well, no, but that's not the game. You have to choose one.
Okay, Vollmer.
Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis or a free agent fullback?
Green-Ellis.
Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis.
Lawrence Maroney or Ben Watson?
Ben Watson.
Brad Lestorti or Brandon Tate?
I'd like to go push the other way, neither.
I know, because, well, yeah, Tate's Lestorti. Probably going to be injured is, on the injured
list.
Lestorti.
Yeah. There's no T, is there?
Yes.
Lestorti.
No, Lestorti.
Lestorti.
I'm not going to bother learning the name.
Yeah, I'll go with Tate just for that reason.
Julian Edelman or Matthew Slater?
Edelman.
Oh, you're already on the
Edelman. I'll go Edelman. I mean, the biggest fan in the world gave up on Slater. That's you.
I know. Lakeven Smith or Darryl Richard?
Lakeven Smith. Lakeven Smith. These are all good ones, though, because I think they are all interesting
one.
Debates.
Well, I'll go with...
Chris does his work.
I'll go with Lakeven right now.
Could be neither again.
Yeah. Jake Ingram or Nathan Hodel?
Ingram.
Ingram.
And Eric's painting or Eric's photography?
Oh, come on.
I have no formal artistic
Eric training. Was like really into this game until the end, and it's like, oh, man.
Thanks, painting. Chris.
All right.
I mean, you gave up on photography.
No. What are you talking about?
You haven't given up?
No.
You should stay away from that endeavor.
What the hell?
It's already gotten you in trouble.
Oh.
You're going into the seedy underworld of
No. I did get that
project.
Deal, by the way, with that thing in Vegas.
You got a check?
Wait, what?
A lady in Vegas who was on the Egypt trip with me has hired me to...
Are you still pestering those people?
It's different
Leave
person,
them alone.
Different person, Fred. Different family.
All people. Of these people. What did different. You do? Get everybody's name on
no,
the boat?
No. This lady has contracted me to... paint her entire family.
And as I
over
said,
the, over the years.
Are they going to be nude?
She went, no, Fred.
Have you cashed a check yet?
No.
She's contracted you.
Yes.
Did she buy you dinner?
No, we've made an agreement.
Does she have to go to Vegas for this?
I will have to make a couple of trips out there, yeah.
Can't they just send you a Polaroid?
Oh, my God.
All you're going to do is take a Polaroid.
No, Polaroid. Nobody uses Polaroid anymore.
Yeah, didn't they like go out of business?
It's kind of like a word like Kleenex.
I know.
Yeah. So that's it.
It's news.
Now,
yeah.
Do they live right in Vegas?
No, I think they live like in a suburb.
Because I have an aunt who lives in Henderson, which is right outside of Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Well, we know somebody else who allegedly went to Henderson.
But so should I have my aunt look you up when you're there? She's much older.
Is your aunt hot?
Well, she's much older.
And a gay man?
Fathead.
Oh, God.
That is true.
Dave from Connecticut, when will a list of all undrafted free agents at rookie camp be posted?
Either
tomorrow,
later today
probably.
Or tomorrow.
Yeah, by tomorrow at the latest.
We'll have the roster for practice, but again, it will not likely include tryout guys, and there could be a number of those.
We got a run on Connecticut emails. Dave from Stores, I recently read an article about Mayo, where he mentioned that he wasn't even playing up to full speed last year because he was doing too much thinking while learning the Patriots system. With the system now under his belt, he expects to make a lot more game-changing plays to help the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he has the ability? I think he does based on his athleticism, and I see 140-plus tackles, 3 interceptions, and 3 or 4 sacks.
Mayo!
I would say the least likely is the sacks. I think you will see forced fumbles, fumble recoveries, and an interception at least.
And
an inside linebacker to have
and
3 picks and 4 sacks is that's pretty tough.
140 tackles too. He had 128 I think last year. I'd like to see that number lower only because I'd like to see other players contributing in the tackle department. Not necessarily because I don't want him to make them, but I think he had to make a lot of them last year because he was the only one who was able to make them. I'd like to see another inside linebacker who's can complement him. I'd like to see maybe some of the safeties come up and make a few more plays. So if his tackle number goes down, I won't be all that upset if it's offset by...
If he doesn't have 130 tackles, I'll be upset.
Why?
Because.
That's a big number.
No, it isn't. It's a drop in the bucket.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many other players in the league are making 130 tackles in a season?
Last year?
I'm just saying.
I would
on
say...
Average, how many?
On average per year, at least 25 or 30.
Is that many?
A great year.
You really think that
Ray
many?
Lewis played in seasons where he played like 4 games and had 100 and something tackles.
Tackles are given out like candy at Halloween, baby.
Well, teams do that. Yeah, because the team stats we get at the end of the year from the PR department were completely inflated. Mayo had like 170 tackles, if you count that.
Tackles are a dime a dozen. If your middle linebacker, who's supposed to be a defensive rookie of the year, player of the year caliber player, doesn't have 125 tackles in his sleep, he's not playing well.
I'll go for 100, but I think 130 is
dime a dozen.
Asking a little too much.
All right. Last week, Kamani promised to have a statement regarding Eric, and the statement has just come in across the transom, over the transom, through
over the wire.
Over the wire. This is from Kamani. He says, here is my statement.
Through the transom.
Here is my statement. Last week, I was embarrassed by the news that Eric was doing nude photography on the side. I was embarrassed because I didn't uncover this first. I was scooped by someone who lives 1,500 miles away in another country. I had underestimated the vastness of Eric's weirdness. This was a mistake. So here is my promise to you, Fred, the PFW staff, and all the PFW universe. I will concentrate all my free time and all my resources to tracking all things Eric. Thank you. Come on.
Okay. I have a statement I'd like to counter with, Fred.
Yes.
I'm calling the police.
The Thank cyber you. Police.
And good night.
All right. On the phone right now is John in Palm Bay. John, how you doing?
Hey, you guys did a great job. Great job on the draft.
Oh, thank you,
John. Thank you, John.
Hey, I got a quick action up. I guess I don't know how to put it. How many people out of the 12 picks we pick do you think will be on the roster at the beginning of the year?
Five. Very good, Eric. Is that it?
No. How many people will be on injured reserve?
I don't know.
Who knows? I mean,
at least one.
Oh, actually, I have to amend that to say six, Fred.
Including Tate?
No, Ingram.
Oh.
Ingram. Yeah. I'm counting the top four picks.
Yeah.
Tyrone McKenzie.
Yeah.
And Ingram.
And Ingram.
So that'll be six.
Six.
Tate, I think, will be on PUP or the injured list.
Yeah.
Okay.
What about Edelman?
Practice squad.
I'm going to say seven guys make the roster.
Wow. That's a lot.
It would be all your picks in a normal draft.
Before I go back to work, is I saw McKenzie play a couple times at South Florida because I'm right near there.
Yep.
And he's going to be a great player. He's going to start by game two.
Okay.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
A lot of people are giving us some really good heads up on McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
No more. All right, guys, bye.
See you, John.
All right, John of Palm Bay.
Yep. He's going to be a nice, pleasant surprise, although he could mean the end of, depending on how it shakes out, Gary Guyton. Or...
Oh, I was going with the older guy in that department.
Teddy Bruschi will not get cut. You think Teddy Bruschi's going to get cut?
We'll do whatever's best for the football team, Andy.
Yeah, that won't involve cutting Teddy Bruschi.
I'll
be stunned.
Whatever's best for the football team.
Percent chance Teddy Bruschi gets cut.
Gets cut? 10%.
Yeah. I would say similar.
25 to 30.
Oh, boy.
30%. You look terrible, by the way. Your left eye is bright red.
No, I get my allergies are killing me.
Don't you take anything?
I took Flonase today, but see, here's the problem. Claritin did something. they did something to their formula. They used to be prescription.
Yes.
And then they went over
then
the counter.
Yeah.
Then they split it up because of the whole drug that's in it. The one that you can buy off the shelf is different than the one that you have to sign something behind the register. But the one that you have to sign something for is the only one that works for me. But they've done something. They put something in there that when I take it, it like gets me all like wired, like you know, like I'm on speed or something. Like, no, it's weird.
So you don't take it?
It works like hell. It works great, but it makes me feel weird.
So I
try not to take it if I don't have to.
You get jumpy, more
jumpy
than usual?
Yeah, like kind of like. Not nervous, but tense. So, you know, I just want to tell somebody to F themselves.
So Andy.
I get like Paul in a parking lot.
What we've learned is this, combined with the economic situation and the state of the world today, has Fred wanting to kill people.
Right. So if I get arrested, that's going to be my excuse. It's the Claritin.
The prescription
the
Claritin.
The Claritin made me
not
do
the
it.
Over-the-counter Claritin.
Right. It's not a prescription.
They just make you sign?
You have to sign for it because it's got
ephedrine
in it.
Oh, well, that's what's making you all tense and jittery and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when it used to be a prescription, it didn't make me that way. And it worked just as well.
Huh. Mm-hmm.
So they did something to it since they took it off prescription. And you know who will know the answer to that? Doug and Blackstone. He emailed me off air the other day. Good to hear from him. I haven't heard from him in a while. But he just knows everything about everything. Doug and Blackstone, he's like the answer man. So maybe he'll know what they did, what Claritin did to their...
A druggist?
What?
Yeah. You said a druggist?
Yeah, it's
Shouldn't
an old
that be a
term.
Pharmacist?
It's an old school term, dumbass.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. I never heard it.
I never heard it either.
I've heard it.
Yeah, you're old.
Old school term.
It might be a Rhode Island thing.
Nah, I don't think it's Rhode Island.
Which is synonymous
in Rhode Island, they call the little convenience store spas.
They do.
You know, we used to go to the spa.
Admiral Spa.
Admiral Spa. We used to walk down there.
Yeah.
My grandmother lived three blocks from there. We'd walk down the Admiral Spa and spend whatever money we had in our pockets on junk.
Webradiopatriots.com.
Mike from Columbus, Ohio. I just got done listening to the draft coverage and Tuesday's PFW. Great stuff. All this talk about Edelman being the Patriots' answer to the Wildcat, that's exactly what he will be, imitating Pat White so the defense can get ready for the Dolphins. If he is really great and at it and can do something else on special teams, maybe he'll be on a game day roster late in the season. I just don't understand why everyone is getting excited about taking Tom Brady off the field so we can get Edelman in the lineup. Is it possible that the Patriots may have decided to pick Edelman only after Pat White was picked by the Dolphins?
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything's possible. I think they saw a Ray Ventrone guy who's just going to work hard, has some athleticism, receiver, wildcat. I bet you Bill doesn't even know exactly how he's going to use him, but he liked what he saw, heard.
The idea of using
him. The whole thing.
Too bad the Sunday broadcast didn't go all the way to the Jake Ingram pick in the sixth round. Early in the broadcast, Fred was being attacked for suggesting the Patriots might draft a long snapper. Andy, with a mocking laugh, says, "You're going to draft a long snapper? Fred, has that ever happened?" Surprisingly, Fred did not bring this up on Tuesday, given this great opportunity to have his Mayock moment. Sadly, rather than having his moment, Fred probably forgot the whole conversation happened.
I don't think I said that it ever happened. We talked about the Seahawks drafted one.
I think Paul was asking if it ever happened.
But I did call that.
You did. That's right.
Did you call it, or did you, like, wonder if they could take a long snapper?
I did. I said, well.
And why do you say long snapper?
I don't know.
Long snapper.
As opposed to a short snapper. Three, remember the old Budweiser commercial with the three frogs? Budweiser.
Yes, sure.
Now we have this moment from draft coverage. Andy, Orn, Paul, Berg, Eric,
We did that?
You can't get that commentary like on this on ESPN. Thanks.
Wow, it was a long draft weekend. I don't remember that at all.
Overall, you have to be happy with the way the Patriots managed the draft. They came into the weekend with six picks in the top 97 and turned them into six picks in the top 97, plus two additional second-round picks next year. I take that deal every time.
They pulled it out nicely. We talked about it early in day one, where I said the whole thing that if you didn't have a first-round pick and didn't end up one of the next year, you'd kind of be disappointed. At least they ended up with a couple twos next year when they were done with all the wheeling and dealing, turning threes into twos. So they pulled it out a little bit. I still would have liked to have had an extra one for next year.
Yeah, would have been nice.
Okay.
But picking 32nd, as Fox Sports projects, you know, I think they'll be happy with a couple twos.
Sure. Because but one of those twos could be 33 or 34.
Sure.
It
could
be picking back to back.
Be tremendous.
Let's see. John in Fayetteville, Georgia, is having trouble with the broadcast. That's dropping off the air.
Oh, come on, Doctor and Chris.
And Flash.
Flash.
Larry says, no phone calls on draft day. The show is too funny the way it is.
So I hope there's nothing wrong with PDC, Andy.
Oh, yeah. Fred, how have the numbers been at PDC?
Excellent.
Damn it.
Oh, shoot. We were hoping you'd say, what the hell's PDC?
No, April.
Is that a dork term only you, Chris, and Jenna use?
Patriots.com.
No, PDC. We all use Patriots.com.
But we have so many things, we have to give abbreviations for everything.
Why?
PDC, Patriots.com.
PDC.
Shoot, yeah. We were really hoping that Chris was wrong again.
You're a dork.
Anyway.
You don't really use that often. I've never
heard
you say
that. Well, I use it in the billing. You know, when our programmers give us their bills, they have to tell me what they worked on.
Uh-huh.
And PDC is the code for Patriots.com.
But in everyday conversation.
I've never used it.
Okay, so he was wrong.
Ferreira does.
Yeah.
What a dork.
I think he was trying to impress Jana, who
was
wasn't there
to
at
be
the time.
Throw it around. PDC.
Yeah.
I'm going to put these on PDC later.
Yeah.
ASAP. John in L.A. writes,
DB.
Given Brandon Tate's positive test and the fact that Patrick Chung comes from Jamaica, is it safe to assume that we should keep this rookie class away from Kevin Falk's cousin's jacket?
Hey, he should have saved that for outtakes. That was too valuable.
That's a good one. No, we don't put that on Patriots.com.
PDC.
Why? They're only John's thoughts. They're not the express written.
Yeah, John's thoughts about other teams. Hey, on the phone right now is Jim from Texas. Jim, how you doing?
Jimmy.
Fred, it's so good to hear from you. I got to tell you, everybody, thank you very much. That
the coverage of the NFL draft was second to none. You all did a tremendous job. So,
well, thank you.
All right, now
there's some people that don't like us too much, but that's all right.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
But as far as there's one more guy you want to throw in there, keep Nate Newton out of the area too, because that guy was carrying like 350 pounds of wheat.
Well, he could supply them all.
Oh yeah, that's well. Hey, beyond all that, okay, getting straight into the draft. I'm kind of like the guy from Georgia, John from Georgia, whatever.
Big Al.
I wasn't crazy about it. I mean, Chung to me was a reach at 34. I think, but having passed on Mali Luga and Everett Brown. But I mean, I'll be like you guys. I was mad when I went to bed then, right after they drafted Vollmer. But I kind of looked at it, analyzed it, and said, well, your secondary's rebuilt, which was clearly a weak area the last 2 years. You would say that's the weakest part of the defense. I don't think it will be now. Your linebackers, even with McKenzie, you should be better. I got to think, and if we bring in, and if the big if is we bring in Jason Taylor, that will be a very good defensive unit, which is the only thing that's keeping them from really going all the way. So if, having said all that, you talked me off the ledge at least twice. So I'll throw
good. That's
so,
good.
So I'll throw pizza in for next week. So.
Nice.
All right.
We love you, Jimmy.
Yeah, you know. So what have you guys been talking about today? Because I've been moving.
Well, we talked a little bit about your guy Chung, who you think they reached for. He had a very impressive debut here at Gillette Stadium, just meeting with the media, said all the right things, talked about, sounded a lot like Mayo in terms of his work hard, do whatever they ask, and
studious
get your
aspect.
Edge in the film room.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, again, it's not that I don't have a great deal of – I don't think that he's not a good football player. I think he's a very good football player. But I also think that there were other guys that would have helped the team more than him. That's – at the point in which they took Chung.
Well, we kind of said that on draft day, too, I think. We were a little surprised that that's who the first pick overall was.
Well, I think we all feel pretty much the same. This draft, in some way, is related to what they do between now and August at outside linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
We'll feel better about the draft if they address that need at outside linebacker for pass rusher.
And I did want to also mention this, too, because I was listening to the podcast as I was coming back from Georgia on driving back to Texas. We did interview five or six of the people they drafted, because you guys mentioned, I think it was you, Andy, that mentioned all the guys that they brought in for interviews from the draft pool. I think we got five or six of them did visit with the Patriots.
Which,
that, to me, is astounding.
Well, but it changes year to year. I mean, this just happened to be the year that a number of the people that they had in-depth interviews with and visits they drafted. I think it could easily go the other way, where you have a year where they didn't do as much research on guys and didn't bring them in and draft a whole bunch
of them. Yeah, I think most years it's the latter.
Yeah.
I think I was a little surprised, like you, Jim, that there were so many of them that they actually ended up picking after the fact. But
because I know many years past, I've only had like one or two guys from their entire class were interviewed, but I started listening to the list because I had nothing else to do for like a whole day or whatever, and like, wow, that's But beyond all that, Fred, you're still the ultimate Patriot fan. You should make fan of the year, because I was so mad when they drafted Vollmer. I mean, I was sweating mad. I was like, God, and but then I listened to you. It's like, well, you know, it's not good for, you know, Fred could not find a fault with anybody. The guy has no legs. Yeah, you know what? He'll just move on his hands. You know, he'll just pop a little. So,
Jim, where are you moving to?
I moved from Port Arthur, Texas to Beaumont.
Okay.
You know, it's like 15 miles up the street, that's all. They just,
I was going to say, in Texas, that could be like, you know, 1,000 miles away.
No, it's only like, it's like, well, I still have the same job. It's just I'm moving from one apartment complex to another.
Gotcha.
And that's all. But, I said when they took Vollmer, I thought that he was a huge reach at wherever they got him, at the bottom of round two. But then having, like, listening to Paul, it's like, well, I guess I'll drink the Kool-Aid, too. Why not? It must be a lot of Kool-Aid for sale, so... So with that, put me on hold, and I'll spring for pizzas next week.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Jim.
That's great.
All right, guys.
All right. Jim from Texas.
Miss California
is gorgeous.
Is smoking.
Yeah.
The whole controversy with the same-sex marriage, but she is just
gorgeous.
Absolutely phenomenally hot.
You'd like to
yes.
test out the parenthood with her, huh?
If yes, I guess. I would not like her to get pregnant, if that's what you're alluding to.
What?
Ooh, Eric. Eric just kind of.
She's phenomenal.
Boy, his eyes just glazed over. Wow. It was like he was in a trance.
You want to impregnate her?
You could do a lot worse, Andy.
Yeah, but she might be a psycho biznitch.
Maybe.
We'll
worry about that later.
Nick, wow, you really are dried up, huh? Hard up. Whoa.
Nick writes in, listen to that song by Chung's mother again. I think it's about Eric. So I don't know.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. All right. Next
it's season. Catchy.
Yeah, and Fred wanted them to play this whenever Patrick Chung came on the field.
I don't know why. That was player, me.
Oh, that was you?
It's his mom.
What is she saying?
Girly, girly. I don't think a football player wants to hear that said about them
probably
when they're
not.
On the field.
What about when he lays out a receiver across the middle? You play it. I don't think you're allowed to do that in the NFL, but
no.
If you could, then you're calling the receiver girly.
Maybe.
Plus, it's his mom.
Oh, wussy man.
Fox is the best. They just keep the photo of her in a bikini up nonstop, and they split the screen, but the bikini photo gets three-quarters of the screen, and her face gets half because, you know. Oh, my.
They're the conservative station.
That would be a quarter, though, Andy, if the picture's up for three-quarters.
What did I say?
Half.
It's actually two-thirds and a third by the looks of it. But they gave an important two-thirds to the two important things, left boob and right.
Let's see. Pat writes in, Patrick, he says, love the show,
Chung?
But I'm disappointed in the way people have been blowing out of proportion the need for an outside linebacker and how our draft was terrible. You guys keep talking about the possible pickups of Jason Taylor or Peppers, which I feel are very unlikely. The Peppers pickup makes no sense, as much as I would love it. They just don't have the cap space, nor would be willing to pay him for what he wants. And for Taylor, it's been pretty much clear we aren't his first choice. He would like to come to Miami, and the only way I can see him coming is if we offer a huge contract, which won't happen.
What if Bill Parcells says, we don't want you?
Well,
those guys didn't
that's what
exactly
he says, or the
eye
Dolphins
eye.
Don't want him back.
Right. I mean, they didn't exactly see eye to eye a year ago.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why he ended up for a year in Washington. If that happens again, I think next his line is your in the line is your New England Patriots.
As far as the draft, I feel we had a great draft. Butler, Brace, Chung are great talents and are definitely potential starters. Brandon Tate and McKenzie have a lot of potential, and if developed right, can both be great contributors and if developed. Oh, and by the way, did anybody notice that we are in great shape again for next year's draft? And also, we did what we did in free agency this year. I just feel we are in great shape going into the season, and people need to chill out and just sip the Kool-Aid. We won in this draft in the offseason, and in time, everyone will see.
Okay, yeah. I hope so.
I agree.
I just hope the new-look secondary isn't exposed because of a lack of a pass rush. That's the only thing I care about right now.
I'm with you.
I agree. Let's see.
Fred had to check to see if Miss California was still speaking.
She's still on the TV.
Unfortunately, she's not. But if she's signed on with somebody today to do, you know, make a tour and talk it up, spokesman.
To promote the same-sex marriage.
I would go see
same-sex
her. Traditional marriage. Traditional marriage.
That's a Freudian slip.
Slip of the tongue there.
Wouldn't mind a slip of the tongue.
Easy.
Wow, Eric with the sexual references.
What, Fred?
How's it going? are you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Why?
Anything on the horizon? Any prospects?
Not really.
No. We should get somebody online to.
We should read some more emails.
We should hook you up with somebody online.
No, we should
somebody.
No,
please.
More emails.
You know,
emails.
No one.
Emails.
You wouldn't go on a date that somebody set you up with?
If we set you up with someone from our show, would you go out with her? I'm saying her.
huh?
Her.
Yeah, her. You'd have to define her.
Have to
no, but let's just say she sent a picture, you like what you saw, you corresponded via email a couple times, you do it. Okay.
Sure.
It's out there, people. If you know anyone, let's get it going.
Why would any of our listeners...
The emphasis has to be on pictures.
Yeah,
too.
Pictures.
Maybe even video for real proof, because then you can prove it's not just
and strippers. This doesn't include any of your gals, okay?
Gals? Who are you, my grandmother? That's true. We should just slip strippers $100 and...
All right.
Hey, John Goodman is the founder of J.K. Harris. let's see. Matt writes in...
He's still alive, isn't he?
John Goodman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Matt says, why is everyone underestimating Pierre Woods? I don't agree that the Pats absolutely need to have Jason Taylor or Julius Peppers. Before he got crushed, Woods was improving and beginning to come into his own. I expect more of the same in 09. Your thoughts?
Well, that's kind of the theory I posed earlier, but even at his best, I find it hard to believe he's more than 4 sacks. You know, that kind of a guy. He'll make a couple plays for you, but probably not game-changing plays.
But, you know, Belichick has always said sacks aren't everything.
I know.
No, but they help.
And we've never had a guy here that was a big sack guy.
Well, we did have Andre Tippett.
Yeah, that was a long
time ago.
No,
I'm talking about with Bill.
Under
with Belichick.
Yeah.
Vrabel would be the closest thing. 12 and a half.
12 and a half.
But
Don't you?
But that was not over a long period of time. That was one season.
And it was when the Patriots were beating, you know, teams by 30 points.
Right.
Everybody had inflated defensive stats that year.
No question.
You know,
I agree with that, but. I'm just saying, I don't think Pierre Woods, okay, whatever you want to say, pass rusher. He won't have enough pressures.
I look for a disruptive player, a guy that gets in the lane, makes a play, reverse.
I'm not sure he's that.
Okay. But that's what I'm looking for.
Now, I think you can argue
doesn't
that
have to all translate to sacks.
He's complimentary and that Thomas can be that guy.
Right.
But he needs to be that guy.
And yes.
He's
yep.
was playing okay last year when he got hurt. I still don't think he was quite on. You know, we had that long argument. Wow plays and, you know, $30 million man type stuff. But maybe if he has a great year, then I think Pierre Woods is more than capable of being okay on the other side.
Yeah.
But if Thomas is just okay and Pierre Woods is just
okay, problem.
Then your pass rush is just
you have last year.
Right. Now, maybe the secondary will be better and good enough.
I think it would be better.
Far better. But it would be much nicer to say the secondary is going to take a step forward and so too is the pass rush. I can say the one. I can't say the latter.
Exactly.
Mike and Charlotte, I think Bill did not believe that the difference between McKenzie and the other linebackers that everyone was talking about was significant enough to justify the earlier pick.
Right.
He obviously thought that McKenzie is good enough to fill the hole left by Vrabel at some point, or he knows that Taylor is going to sign.
McKenzie's an inside linebacker.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, McKenzie's not going to play that position. Anyway, by picking Chung before a linebacker, he is filling the hole left by Rodney's probable retirement. A hard-hitting safety that can set the tone and still gets the linebacker he needed at a better price. I hope he's right. I certainly am not going to second-guess the guy. Well, again, McKenzie's going to play inside. Mm. So
it sounds like knowing that McKenzie's going to be inside, he'd be a little disappointed because he doesn't see anybody that's going to be that guy on the outside. Sarah right. Palin, she still looks good.
Sure does.
I would.
You went, okay, Josh from Arlington, Virginia says paint. Doesn't Eric mean trace the entire family?
No.
Can we follow you out with a cameraman when you do that and, you know, kind of make a real reality thing on that?
I don't like reality shows.
A real reality thing. Now, how exactly will you pay for the flight? Will that come out of the cost, or do they pay the flight, all that stuff, and then you charge them for the payments?
It'll probably be included in.
Have you discussed price?
Yes. She's okay with things.
How many are they doing?
It's at least a half dozen.
So $36,000. I thought you were $6,000 a piece.
That's not that much. We made a deal to accommodate her budget.
$50.
No. Worthwhile for both of us. Let's just put it that way.
Armando writes in. He says, I've been a Patriots fan since the 80s. I'm from San German, Puerto Rico.
No.
Eric just said, ooh.
No, pointed
to the screen. No. I turned.
And I did.
It's a glossed up guy with his abs.
No, it was a woman coming out of the pool with the thing on.
No, it wasn't. It was a man.
No,
that's twice
what I was
today.
Pointing
you said same-sex marriage.
No,
you're going, ooh, while pointing at a man flexing in his
glossed up abs. No, when you saw it, there was a man on there. I was pointing to what was on before.
Eric.
See, he's reached the point where he pretends it's an accident, but he just really wants it out there. He wants it just to be open.
And it's okay.
It is.
You know?
That's what I was pointing at.
Oh, well, you should have been pointing at the man.
Yeah, she wasn't that great.
I didn't show the face. They were just showing
She's
the body.
No Miss All right,
let's get to Armando's email.
He says, with Armando.
I've been a German Patriots fan since the 80s. I'm from San German, Puerto Rico, and went to college to the Mass College of Pharmacy in Boston.
I know somebody who went there, graduated.
Did you? Suffered the stinky seasons early 90s and celebrated like hell the last 10 years and enjoy your show on my work breaks. One question. Why did Coach Belichick change his ugly gray hoodie in the Super Bowl for the red shiny one? If you don't know, could you ask him? I'm a believer that you don't change things that are working, but that's me. What do you think? He actually didn't wear the hoodie every game last year.
Right.
You know, so he's off and on with that.
But his record in the red hoodie is terrible.
And when you're in an indoor stadium like that in the Super Bowl, there's a lot of things behind you, a lot of things in having a bright red thing is better for the guys in the field because they can see you. They can pick you out of all that confusion better. That's why a lot of times you'll see defensive and offensive coordinators wearing red on the sideline.
Yeah, Dean Pease wears red all the
time. Yeah, it's easier for the players to pick him out.
When Pease moved upstairs for a few.
And he's done that before. And he's wore, you know, in rain, he's worn different things. So
the record in red speaks for itself. It's terrible.
That's true. Anyway, but the important thing Armando says is that he's a pharmacist. The Claritin formula hasn't changed. Claritin D, the D stands for nasal decongestion, can make you hyper and anxious. The regular Claritin, without the D, shouldn't make you anxious or hyper. No charge for the consult.
So he's a pharmacist from Puerto Rico?
Puerto Rico.
Yeah, but he went to the Mass College of Pharmacy.
A-Rod wants to talk to him about getting back in shape.
See now.
So that's interesting, but I'm just – maybe I – but the one I bought off the shelf didn't work as well as the one I got behind the register. And I don't know, maybe there's another one that's not Claritin D behind the register. But I know that Claritin D, I mean, it clears you right up. It's unbelievable. But you do, you feel anxious.
Really?
It's true.
Worse, so you'd rather be stuffed up and have the issue.
Well, that's the question. Where's the trade-off?
I think you should
be anxious.
I think you should. Yeah. You want to clear that up. That's not fun to be not being able to breathe and everything.
You know, build. I'm not sure it's good to get the heart racing.
Build?
Yeah. He's a walking heart attack over there.
John from Fayetteville, Georgia. What is doctor doing? He's worse than 2G. You keep dropping offline.
Oh, boy.
Fred, what's going on? Now there's a groundswell of complaints coming from the internet that we're having issues.
Steve from Tampa. I'm Tyrone McKenzie's older brother, and I wanted to say that the family is supporting him 100%. And we believe in him. Save that evil. That's Steve McKenzie out of Tampa.
Really? It's real?
It could be.
Well, because in all this the bios I've read and written about, he has three sisters and no mention of a brother.
Oh.
Unless it could be a stepbrother.
Because
his mother did get
mother.
Remarried.
So let's find out.
Steve, send it back in.
Yeah. No, you this, do some research. Who's doing his bio?
I did his bio already.
Find out.
This would be two straight. Was Oldenburg 2 years
Oldenburg was
ago.
2 years ago. But what? Send that email.
Stevie.
I get that inbox. I'll just check it later.
Right. Mark from Cheddar. I think Bill Belichick, Patriots head coach, had a great but not outstanding draft. But I'm very excited about the upcoming season. He chose Brace first because of alphabetical order. Belichick is all about superstition. On to other things. I have presents for the four of you, but I don't know the address to send it to.
One, Patriot Place.
So let's
and I also was keeping trying to buy you lunch, but 2G in the doctor in Toyota Tacoma keep failing to get back to me.
Son
Mark
of
Mark from Cheddar. Wow, people.
What is going on
people
with
are just
you?
Throwing.
We've tried. We'll get them.
We'll just throwing you under the
trying
bus.
Trying is not good enough. Show me the baby. Don't tell me about the pain.
Listen, Strippers has a nice Rhode Island girl for Eric. She's 26 years old.
The doctor's already printed it out.
And he sent a link to her MySpace
26.
Site.
That's 10 years. That's perfectly fine, Andy.
Strippers, it's okay for you to be dating
10
people
years
that
is
are 10
fine.
To 15
Well, you know
years
the guy,
younger,
you know Todd McFarlane, the guy that's the Voices and Family Guy? He's like 35.
Seth
McFarlane.
Todd McFarlane is the comic book guy with the baseball
Okay,
collection.
Seth McFarlane, right? Yes. He was going out with Amanda Bynes last year. She's like 23.
But they're celebrities. That's different.
Oh, okay.
Eric is,
why is
a
that
boring.
Eric's a celebrity.
Pseudo intellectual.
I wouldn't say I'm a celebrity.
Never been
You're
painter.
You have art shows and you write for the New England Patriots. That's
that
a
qualifies as celebrity.
No,
yes.
It doesn't, Eric. So stop listening to him. Is she hot?
Ten years is nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. 10 years is something. You can't handle it.
Ten
you don't
years
have the
is
stamina.
Fine. Oh, please.
How would you know?
Oh, anything?
Hey, no.
Yeah.
Too bad. What do you think?
Let me see. Hold on.
You know, she's a little, looks like a professional, but, you know, I particularly like the one outdoors in front of her house where she's going to
I like the
shirt
close-up
on.
Of her cleavage. Do you get that one?
I don't have that one. Can you pass that along?
Yeah. The one on the bottom there?
Strippers. I just have to ask. How much?
Passing around photos here of.
Nice.
Wow. Are you kidding me?
And on her front porch now out front. Which I guess is kind of redundant.
Now,
be weird if her front porch was on the back.
Now, what we can't do though, is, what we can't do is send her pictures of Eric.
No, because
no, we can send her to my website though.
No, you do not want her going there if you want at least a single in-person meeting with her.
I like the picture of her trying to do a sexy pose in front of an industrial garage door.
Strippers just wrote in. She doesn't speak English very well. She only speaks Spanish.
That's better. That's even better. Right?
Okay. So there's only one language we'd be able to communicate with.
That's right. The language of love.
There you go.
So tell her to chupa.
All right. Well, that's going to do
chupa.
It. That's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. If we didn't get to your email, thanks for sending it in. We'll try to do our best next Tuesday, and that's when we'll see you again next Tuesday. You just have to flash it on the world, eh? In my one of these.